the agenda, which is in front of me. Can somebody adopt the proposed adoption of the agenda?
Well, thanks, Chairperson. I think it is in order. I therefore move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you, Honorable Manavola. Any second? Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Adams, second the proposal of the agenda.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, honorable the department, and the entire delegation from Immoral Generation Movement, you are welcome. I'm seeing now the agenda, the way it's putting, I'm happy briefing by the Department of Arts and Culture on the Mzansi Golden Economy Project, is saying 100 million. In another paper, I've said that I'm missing. So I was wondering that we've discussed this thing, but today again, we allow a department to take us through about this project. When we were debating, we did debate. I'm suspecting I was the first one on the debate. In that debate, I was welcoming what the department has done, and also again in the meeting, the minister and DG did with us. But seemingly, according to the program, it is back again. With your respect, Department of Arts and Culture, you take us through. You must leave no stone unturned in this agenda. Do we have apologies? Honorable Mamabu?
Yes. Dr. Ngabane will be joining us late. Maybe in the 2 minutes time, because part of the strategy for the committee.
Thank you. Any other apologies? Honorable DG?
No, good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, and Father Mkacho, and the delegation from Memorand, and the colleagues, and just for record to indicate that Minister is out of the country in Japan and the Deputy Minister is out of the country in Luanda in Angola. Okay. And that's why they are not here.
Thank you, Gigi. Hoping that the Minister and the President will come with that cup of former President Nelson Mandela back to the country. And as the committee, we are wishing that at this stage where now Mabogobogo are in, we are wishing them again that they must come back home with the victory, the way they are doing. Now they are not doing for themselves, they are raising our South African flag. This is a country of loving sport people, and as been saying that cohesion, when we are talking about sport, unity, I've seen it in that stadium. When Japan was losing, they've changed, they supported because it was a sport. They've seen that they are not going to do any other thing. They became bogeys when we were in the stadium. So I'm suspecting when we end taught so many people that sport it's a unifying figure to every nation. So I'm taking this opportunity that we must watch, especially that now even SABC is going to broadcast for the poor of the poorest, but they must also see and watch, because the DSTV is for those who cannot, who can afford. So we're thanking government, even if it's the last moment, as people are saying, but it was never late to do that. Can I go to point number three, briefing by the Moral Generation Movement on their mandate and annual report, and from their discussions to you, Father Mukacho.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity to present a brief report on MRM, but even more importantly, to have the opportunity to interact with you as public representatives. We are here to account, to engage you, to learn from you, your own wisdom, but above all, to thank you for the support that we expect, obviously, to receive, particularly from a honorable member such as yourself. Although we're not a statutory body, but our relationship with a government is determined by an agreement, moral agreement, which was reached between Cabinet and the MRM in 2003. Now let me just pause very briefly to introduce members of my delegation. I have on my right Mr. Slaya Longube, who is the chairperson of our finance subcommittee and education by training, and yesterday he was just sharing with us some very worrying experiences in education in his area, because he himself was a principal of a school for many years. And next to him is Professor Zoo. He's from the University of KZN, and he has been appointed by the Deputy President to be our researcher. But even more importantly, as far as he is concerned, he was the author of this booklet here called The Charter of Positive Values, which took 5 years to put together after extensive research in the country. And on his right is Nkosigazi Mhlawuli. She's the deputy chair of the National Organization of Traditional Leaders. So she's also a member of the board, so is Mr. Ngube. And they were supposed to have another member. She's not well. She's from the PE. Come on. Go with this one. She's there. Right? And then, last but not least, we have Mr. Neo Chaka. He is actually the fellow who is directing and running and managing the Office of the Moral Regeneration Movement. Now, just for the sake of a reminder, that if you read the NDP document, its preamble is based on a number of values, most of which are in fact contained already in the Charter of Positive Values. I'm referring to that because for you, honorable members, that's a very important document, also for governance as a whole. Now, for the benefit of those who may not know much about MRM, I'll just quickly run through a few just sort of landmarks. In 1996, we had a LC Deputy Minister of Education, Ben. We had a five-hour discussion with Madiba and Mr. Thabo Mbeki to discuss specifically the issues of social pathologies as we experienced them then at that time. In some respects, a lot of these issues have gotten actually worse than they were at that time. So it took us then 7 years of a fairly intensive research and consultation to arrive at the decision that in 2002, we needed to launch what is now called Moral Regeneration Movement. More than 2,500 people, delegates from all the provinces attended, all sectors, organized labor, interfaith organizations were there, the political parties were represented, a number of government departments were also represented. And it was also as a result of Madiba's call for the what he called the RDP of the soul, that, and he was actually the inspiration behind what finally came to be known as the Moral Regeneration Movement. Without wasting too much of your time, this booklet here, From Liberation to Transformation, that is in your file, tells you the issues that were discussed by those delegates. It's all contained here. And the upshot of that exercise was that there were two key resolutions that were then taken. One resolution was that the Moral Regeneration Movement must be led and managed by civil society and for government to support. So it's an independent entity, but that works very closely with government as a sector. So there are other sectors that we have to work with. So that was one resolution. The second resolution was that we needed to identify what we call shared values. And that's when it took us then 5 years of research to finally produce the Charter of Positive Values. And if you read those values, the one thing that you will notice is that they cut across culture, language, race, ideological affiliations and so on. So in other words, they're the sort of values that should be acceptable to all people across the political and cultural spectrum. So those are the two key resolutions. What Mr. Chaka is going to do then, after I finish my introductory remark, is going to take us through some of the projects and programs. What has happened since then? Just highlighting those that probably would be, I'm sure, not only important for you, but would be of great interest. This meeting takes place, I think, at the right time. 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Deputy President of the Republic answered questions in the National Assembly. And the one thing that he emphasized very strongly was the need for the other sector to come on board, the private sector, organs of civil society, political organizations and so on, because MRM belongs to everybody, all the people of South Africa. Now, government for us, of course, is very important because It is an instrument of the people of this country, of the nation. It is an instrument that in fact impacts or impinges on the lives of all the people and sectors in the society. So our association, therefore, with government is not only deeply valued, I think it's very important for us. Now, what we would normally expect, of course, is that when we interact with the sector is the one that, within its own ambit, is the one that makes sure that MRM is properly understood and appreciated. For example, for government, what we would expect is that government's responsibility as a sector is to ensure that it mainstreams the moral regeneration movement and the Charter of 41 among its own structures. And then as a sector, then relate to the MRM and other things. That's what ought to happen. All right, it does not quite exactly happen that way, but that's the ideal. Now, honorable members, let me say the obvious. And the obvious is that your role in the country is extremely important. We're coming to you because we feel that we need your support. And your support is not just something that is given to a particular body, but it is given to MRM because MRM is the future of this nation, the future of your children. MRM, if properly adhered to and taken very seriously, will bring about tremendous changes that this country needs, especially at this point in time. Let me quote what Madiba then said, which is very important, in his inaugural address as president. He said the following: out of the experience of an extraordinary human disaster that lasted too long, must be born a society of which all humanity can be proud. Our daily deeds as ordinary South Africans must produce an actual South African reality that will reinforce humanity's belief in justice, strengthen its confidence in the nobility of the human soul, and sustain all our hopes for a glorious life for all. So this was then almost a follow-up on his call for the RBP of the soul. Let me say also the obvious. And the obvious is that as a nation, as a country, we find ourselves as in a very difficult situation where lots of people actually are saying the moral compass of the nation is either seriously threatened or is in very big trouble. You only have to look at some sort of glaring challenges that are facing all of us, not just certain people. I think that almost what has become the culture of corruption and the Zondo State Capture Commission captures this extremely well, in fact, in a very worrying way. The violence, especially gender-based violence, which has really reduced us to almost a huge shame that we could kill women and girls in such a cruel fashion. Not only physical killing, emotional oppression, and treating them in such a way that some of them are even scared now to either go about their own business, to which is legitimate. But this is just an example. And then, of course, the whole question of the manner in which the tenders are manipulated to benefit people that already either have resources of their own at the expense of the poor and the disadvantaged. And the situation in our institutions, especially of learning, very worrisome. The dysfunctional health and education services, violent service delivery programs, drug and sexual abuses, materialism, which of course then spawns of so many other evils emanating from materialism and so on. And the Gini coefficient continues to to your own, who I don't seem to be able to deal with that, to be able to come to terms with that. That's why I have poverty and unemployment. I mean, you know all these things. I'm just quoting some very serious and glaring examples of the challenges that are facing us, and therefore the need for a very vibrant, a very strong moral regeneration movement. As I move towards the end of my introductory remarks, let me quote what Marcus Aurelius, some of you will probably remember, he was a Roman emperor, one of those philosopher emperors and so on, and he said something very important, namely that when we talk about or we implore people to be good, in his own words he says, you must waste no time arguing about what a good person or good man or woman should be. Be one, he said. I'll continue then to say there is a value in taking a stand, whether or not anybody may be noticing it or whether or not it is a risky thing to do. I do want to suggest, however, that this happens often when more individuals pull their resources together, acting as an organized collective, that significant and permanent solutions can be found. That's why we are here, ladies and gentlemen. And in conclusion, I would like to thank you, Chairperson, for inviting us to this exercise. And during the discussion period then, some of my colleagues will also get an opportunity to make an input. Like, for instance, when we discuss the question of resources, we just continue to be a huge headache since we started, moving up to today. Just to see to what extent maybe some of the challenges that are facing us, and then get your own wisdom to see to what extent we can work together as we continue to work with the department and other departments of government from time to time. We work together, and as we continue also receiving some kind of resources from our people in government, that we appreciate and we realize that the case is not, cannot really satisfy everybody. Everybody needs to have a piece. But what is most important is the size of the piece that is allocated to each other. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Father.
Any
final member to take us home amongst the committee members?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Greetings to all honorable members, to our colleagues from the Department of Arts and Culture, and greetings to my colleagues and leaders in the MRM. I will take the meeting through the presentation that we prepared. I will also be cautious of time, Honorable Chair. So forgive me if some slides, I won't go into details on them, but I will highlight the most important issues or items that we need to highlight in the presentation. Now, this presentation, we've prepared it with a view that the MRM last made the presentation to the, it was then the Arts and Culture Portfolio Committee in March 2015. So in this presentation, we then seek to appraise honorable members on what MRM, on the work that MRM has done since then, and the challenges that MRM continuously faces. But we've also included the funding that MRM has received from 2015 to date, and also the programs that we'd like to embark on, and some we've already started to implement moving forward for the next coming 3 to 5 years. And also, on the last page, it's a proposal or a request from the portfolio committee itself. I would also like to thank the chairperson of the MRM who has made my work easier today, because in his input he touched on a very important founding resolution of the MRM, which is that MRM should be driven by civil society. That is with an understanding that civil society remains constant in every area of our nation, and therefore it is each and everyone's duty as members of or as citizens of this country to ensure that we achieve moral renewal in our country. In that regard, MRM continues with its restructuring program, which is ensured that we build forums that comprises of various stakeholders in the various municipalities, in the various districts, in the various locals and various provinces to ensure that we achieve a civil society driven movement. Now these forums, they are made up out of different stakeholders within the area that we operate in. You'll find your faith-based organization, you'll find your traditional leaders, you'll find your traditional healers, you'll find your community leaders, you'll find several NGOs and CBOs in those various areas. Now, to date, the MRM has been able to set up structures in the provinces that we've listed, in Limpopo, Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, Free State, and Northern Cape, with other provinces still being work in progress. And also it established structures in the metros, the districts, and the local municipalities as well. Now these structures, they implement programs that are based on the Charter of Positive Values, because the Charter of Positive Values, working with a priest, we always explain it as the Bible of the MRM. That is where we mainly based our programs on, because we want to see the Charter realized, and we want to see the Charter, people being able to live according to the values that are in the Charter itself. Now, these activities, they vary from social dialogues to awareness campaigns to marches. In Pietermaritzburg, there was a march where the MRM structure in the Msunduzi municipality partnered with the Msunduzi municipality, where they organized a men's march to start dealing with the issue of femicide. In Limpopo, the structure, just to mention a few, partners with the Department of Transport and joins them on their Arrive Alive campaign to say, as much as the department is spreading the message of Arrive Alive, then the structure comes in with a message of values to say we need to then start considering the values that we need to adopt even in our driving, even in our on our roads. So what we really want to work towards is to then have the MRM structures in the various areas of our country being able to drive various campaigns based on the challenges that they have in their own local areas. The other program that we have implemented successfully so as the MRM is what we call the Charter of Election Ethics. Now, the Charter of Election Ethics looks at the ethics that should govern elections, looks at the values that each and every person participating in the elections in our country should be governed by. This goes from political parties to even voters to even the IEC, people who are managing the elections. Now, before the 2016 local government elections, we held a launch of the charter where we invited all political parties to sign a commitment to upholding the values that are in the charter. And this was held at Constitution Hill, and all political parties participated in this exercise, and to even show that they took it serious and they were serious in their commitment, they sent the senior members of their parties to sign the charter. But that did not end there. The political parties themselves, when they had their rallies, when they had their campaigns, they invited MRM and they requested the copies of the charter to distribute to their members as a sign to show that it was not only signing for them, but it was a commitment to upholding the values that are in the charter. In 2017, honorable members, you would remember, this was after the death of Karabo Mokoena, who was killed by her boyfriend. MRM, in partnership with the department, well, then it was the Department of Arts and Culture, launched an anti-femicide campaign. And the reason why we launched the anti-femicide campaign, we said whenever there's a gruesome murder of a young woman, of women in our country, there's a huge uproar in the media and throughout the country. But after that period, or after a certain period, everything subsides, giving off an impression as if everything now is well. We can continue with whatever that we're doing. So we have said as MRM that we want to launch a sustainable campaign that will ensure that we create dialogue in every part of our country to say what is it that we can do to eradicate this scourge of violent murders against women and even children. So we partnered with the Department of Arts and Culture and we launched this campaign at Regina Mundi in Soweto in the year 2017. Now, with this campaign, we also said that we need to include other stakeholders. And part of the campaign was the Social Development Department, and we also engaged the then Minister of Women in the Presidency to ensure that as we continue the work or as we do the work, we then get all the partners together so that we don't work in silos, but we work as a collective. We also then had public lectures on the values that Madiba stood for. As we would recall, Honorable Members and Honorable Chair, that last year we were celebrating our icon. We were celebrating the values that he stood for, the work that he has done for our country to be where it was today. And as the MRM, we then said that it will be important that as we celebrate our icon, we look at the values that he stood for. And we look at how do we then continue what he called for back in 1997, and Father Mkhatshwa has alluded to it, that of which is the RDP of the soul. How do we continue that trajectory? How do we continue that work based on the values that we saw him exemplify in our country? We've also had various workshops in correctional centers with the partnership of the Department of Correctional Service, where we engage with their officials, but also we engage with the inmates as well, to then start saying, how do we then bring about, or how do we then bring about the values and ethics in the work that they do, given the space that they do the work in? MRM also engaged on the land topic. We would remember that last year there was the topic that was posed to the nation to discuss around the issue of land. But the MRM's approach was around the ethics and the values that should govern the discussions that we are having. This was due to the fact that there were several statements that were made that as MRM, we would always, and this is our mandate, we would always guard against issues that want to portray the country as a country that does not have values. We would want to guard against issues that portray the country as a country that does not have morals. So that is why it was important that we look at the values and the ethics that should govern the discussion, or that should guide the discussion as it was. We also had a theologian's colloquium. Now, the purpose of the theologian's colloquium was as a result of the abuse in religion that we experienced as a country and that we continue to experience. And we're saying, as MRM, that we need to engage theologians to then start saying, what is it, or what role can they play in educating not only the church, but also South Africans as a whole, on the role of the church in our country, on the role of the church in upholding morals and ethics. Because what we saw seemed the abuse of religion really raised concern, and I'm sure it raised concern to you also, Honorable Members. We continue to have dialogues in various institutions of higher learning, and we have dialogues on the social ills that are affecting them. It is worth noting with concern, honorable members, that the institutions of higher learning, they are facing so many social ills, from drug abuse to alcohol abuse to the rape of women in the institutions, to the murders also, but also to crime in general. So we continue to have the dialogues to see to what extent we can work together with the institutions of higher learning to ensure that we start eradicating some of the social ills that they are experiencing. Two examples that we can make with that is the dialogues that we had with the University of Fort Hare, which also invited Rhodes University. And we've also recently had a dialogue with the newly elected leadership, not only the SRC, but the campus leaders also and other student leaders at the University of Free State, where they had also invited the Central University of Technology. We also continue to have regular interactions with Vice Chancellor, who their main concern is that the students that they have in their campuses come from communities. Now, if students come to their campuses and they don't have a set of values that they have learned from their communities, it therefore creates a problem for them, because now they need to then start teaching the students themselves the values that they need to abide by. That is why they appreciate the partnership with the Moral Regeneration Movement. Between the year of 2017 and 2019 and 2018, we implemented a campaign called I Care, We Care, in partnership with the Gauteng Department of Infrastructure Development. This campaign seeks to educate communities on the destruction of public property. It has become a norm in our country that whenever there is a protest, the protest turns into violence. And once it turns into violence, it then, therefore, people start burning the public property. They start burning clinics. They start burning police stations and so on and so forth. So MRM embarked on this campaign to really say to people that, one, ours is not to tell communities not to protest. Ours is to then say to communities, it is your given right to protest, but we need to protest within the parameters of the law. But also to start educating communities that when we ban the infrastructure that we have, it is us who then at the end get to struggle because of the infrastructure that we do not have at the end of the day. But also to then start a process of, because it then also turns into a process of teaching people about legislation, teaching people about the laws of our country, where we invited the office of the speaker, both provincially and even in the municipalities, that's to teach people around issues of petitions, how long do they take, what is it they're supposed to do, and so on, and applying for marches, and so on and so forth. We have continuous engagement with various sectors of our society, being it the religious sector, being it the civil society, being it the labor sector, and so on and so forth, because our main interest is to ensure that in every sector of our society, issues of values and ethics are practiced. Now, the following slide talks to the partnerships that MRM has established to date, starting from 2015, to then say that it's important to note that most of the work that we have accomplished as the Moral Regeneration, it has been mainly through our partners. It has been mainly through partnerships, because you will see as I come to the other slide, it will explain why we have to rely heavily on partners, because if we do not rely on our partners, then most of the work that we are seeing, that we are presenting here, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we wouldn't be able to achieve that. So we take our partnerships very seriously, and we follow up on the partnerships that we have in terms of implementing what we agreed with them on. I won't dwell much into that because the list is self-explanatory. The next slide talks to the funding that MRM has received to date from government, which is received from the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture. Now, when you look at the figures, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, it is also important to note that you're looking at a budget that is meant to do many things, one of them being running MRM in terms of operations, in terms of the personnel, in terms of the office. You're looking at a budget that is supposed to implement programs, ensure that each and every province, the 9 provinces in our country, they have an activity or have programs on MRM. Now, when you take all of that into consideration and you look at the figures there, you will then start thinking to yourself, how does the MRM get to achieve the work that it has done to date? How does MRM get to achieve the moral renewal of our country? Because the mandate talks to the moral renewal in the entire country. And you would understand, of course, that the Charter of Positive Values, we need to ensure that it reaches all the parts of our country. That is why to date we have ensured that the Charter is translated into different languages so that many other people are able to access the Charter of Positive Values, and that it's not only available in the English language. The challenges that MRM continues to face is that of lack of resources, which remains a stumbling block, especially in the implementation of programs. Because once you have a certain resources, it also starts to restrict your thinking process. It starts to restrict your strategy planning, because as you plan to do certain programs, as you plan to do certain activities, then the issue of resources comes in and then says, you are not able to do this, you therefore need to look for a partner who is able to assist you to do that. That has also even led to the insufficient resourcing in terms of human resource of the MRM to ensure that the work of the MRM continues and is implemented in all provinces. The issue of communication and marketing is also a very important issue. Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, we will all agree that some of the messages that we see in our media, some of the messages that we see in our social media are not constructive. Therefore, MRM should be leading in that space in terms of the messaging around the positive values, in terms of the messaging around or the content around the values and the ethics that should guide us as a country, which is something that at the moment, given the resources that MRM has, remains a challenge. That is why you will see as part of our partners is the SABC, because we then try to say if we take on the SABC as our media partner, we'll try to work on media coverage and media programs with them. However, given the state that they are in right now, that has become also challenging for us. We also need to ensure, as the MRM National Office, that all provinces are properly coordinated. We also need to ensure that MRM in all provinces is properly coordinated, but also over and above properly coordinated, that the founding principle or the resolution at the founding of the MRM, it's maintained at all times. And that is the resolution that says MRM should be driven by civil society. Now, the next slide, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, slide 10, seeks to then give direction in terms of the programs that MRM is planning to do in the coming 3 to 5 years. We have also attached an estimated budget as a way of showing what the programs that we need to implement cost as compared to what is currently in the kitty of the MRM. We will continue with the restructuring of the MRM, which is meant to ensure that each and every stakeholder, each and every sector plays a role in the MRM programs. But not only do they play a role as civil society, they take lead and they drive the programs of the MRM. We will continue with the work of the Charter of Election Ethics, which we believe that is important, and through our engagement with the IEC, they have also indicated that the Charter of Election Ethics is important, because we now start talking to people to say, as we go through elections, even after elections, even in between elections, what is the role of citizens? What is the role that they should play? What is the role of the people managing the elections? What is the role of the police? And what is the role of political parties? Now, Father Mkatwa has indicated that the Charter of Positive Values was adopted by the Social Cohesion Summit that was held in 2012. And it was adopted in toto. Now, as part of that resolution, MRM is therefore tasked in the medium-term strategic framework to ensure that the charter reaches all parts of our country. Now, as the MRM, we said the charter cannot reach all parts just by giving it to people as pamphlets are given out. But the charter needs to be taken to all parts of our country through engagement. We need to be able to engage each and every community, each and every society in our country on the values that are on the charter, so that that community is able to then say, this is what, or these are the activities that we can do towards ensuring that the values in the charter are realized. So we will continue that work of community dialogues that are based on the Charter of Positive Values. We also have ethical leadership workshops that we talk to the councillors, we talk to community leaders, we talk to every leader in communities, we talk to traditional leaders, and our purpose really is to then start talking about the values and the ethics that should guide leadership, the values and the ethics that should define a leader in the various spheres or in the various areas where people are leading other people, to say what is the values that a leader should stand for and a leader should exemplify. The MRM would also embark on a schools project. Now, the schools project is also aimed at ensuring that the Charter of Positive Values is embedded in our schools, it's embedded in the curriculum of our schools. Because if we miss the learners in schools, it's difficult to teach them values when they are at the university level. So you should really start them whilst they are still young. So we also need to ensure that the values that are then implemented in schools. But as we're talking about this schools project, Honorable Chair, allow me to share this one. Our schools in South Africa, they are named after our icons. For example, I was telling Father Mkatwa, he was not aware of this, there's a Father Smangaliso Mkatwa High School in Pretoria, in Tshwane. He was not aware of it. But if you go to the learners and you ask them, who is Father Smangaliso Mkatwa? They don't know. There's an Oliver Tambo Primary School. If you go to the learners, who's Oliver Tambo? They don't know. Let alone the values that he stood for. Now, as the MRM, we are saying that we then need to start, whether it's in a form of a debate, or whether it's in a form of conversations, or learners even giving public speeches, on the icons that their schools are named after. Secondly, on the values that that icon stood for. Thirdly, on how they as learners they can instill those values within the school premises that they live in. It's not only learners, Honorable Chair, it's even the teachers as well that do not know the very same icon of the school that they work in. Now, with the schools project, that is our approach to say, this is how we start then bringing out the values in that school. If the learners in the Father Smangaliso Mkhatshwa High School could know that Father Smangaliso Mkhatshwa is a very punctual person, then they themselves to say we therefore need to be punctual to then show that our school is Father Smangaliso Mkhatshwa. So that you are then able to tell that child who's wearing that uniform is from a certain school. So that is our idea and plan for the schools project. But also to say that we are in conversation with the Department of Education because the ruling party has taken a resolution that the Charter of Positive Values needs to be incorporated into the life orientation curriculum. Now, as MRM, we welcome that very much, but we're saying we then need to have an engagement with the life orientation teachers because we don't want the charter to be used as a punishment tool to say you are making noise, according to the Charter of Positive Values, you shouldn't be doing this, and so on and so forth. So we need to engage with them so that we give them more in-depth understanding on the charter. We will continue with the public lectures, Honorable Chair, because we learned from the Madiba lecture, if I may share, the one that we held at the Nelson Mandela University. The university had to provide 3 more outflow areas based on the interest that the students themselves had on the lecture. And the lecture was talking to the values and the ethics that our former statesman stood for and that he had, and how should we take that forward. So we then feel that we need to continue that project. We're also going to be continuing with what we call the Education Summit to address the issues, or not only the issues, but the foundations or the core of the issues that our students have expressed through various campaigns, including the Fees Must Fall movement and so on. We will continue with the anti-femicide campaign, but most importantly, we want to strengthen the MRM communication and marketing platforms, because through the media, there's a way in which we should get our country to start working towards certain values and start working towards certain assets. Now, our proposals to the honorable members of the committee is to then say, over and above the work that MRM is doing, we need to have active advocates throughout the country who would be moral regeneration activists, who will carry the message of the MRM throughout the country. Now, as the public representative, honorable members have constituencies in their various areas. Now, you can also use those constituencies to promote the message and the charter of positive values, and would also strongly advocate for more resources to be given to the moral regeneration movement. And in closure, Chair, we can get our economy right. We can get our country growing in terms of economy. We can get our infrastructure right. We can get enough funds in our national purse. But if we don't focus on moral renewal, we will always have corruption. We will always have all the social ills that we'll have. We will fire as many people until we get to a point where we don't have anyone to hire. But we need to focus on moral renewal, because that on itself, it then makes sure that when our economy gets right, it is then sustainable. Thank you very much.
Honorable Mr. Chaga, if anyone wanted to talk about the funding and how did it go, we do see that we put that $3 million has been given. I'm saying I wanted that, is there anyone who's presenting maybe a statement or anything related to your financial statement, because you're saying we've been given 3.5. So at least since then until now, can you reflect on that? Do you have any statement on that? I've seen other hands, Mr. Faber, Honorable Fundy. They've finished to respond to. Question is, are you having a prepared statement to account to us about these 3.5 million that you have been given by each department? Because according to your presentation, we are seeking more funds, but as we are sitting here, would love to see how did you do and work and use that money that you have been given, in order that we must satisfy that you need more money. That's what I'm saying.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I can confirm that we audited our books. I think in our previous board meeting we received the audit report from an independent auditor. Maybe what we can confirm is that the manager will send you our audited financial statement. I want to assume that the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture already has that statement, so it will be forwarded to the members.
I'm suspecting you didn't realize that when we are coming to a committee, coming to present all what is good, the programs, the challenges, and then the challenges are including the funding, and then you left behind the audited statement. We are looking forward for that. I thank you. Honourable members, can I take a hands for a discussion? Honorable Madlingosi, Honorable Fabs, Honorable Fandek, Honorable Mama Molo, on that order, Honorable Doctor, Honorable Songo, Honorable Malomane, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to start off by saying that we are grateful that there are organizations like the MRM that's trying to fulfill the task of helping our country with moral and values and ethics. But Chairperson, I want to first start by saying in South Africa's constitution it states clearly in the Bill of Rights that we are a democratic country with different religions, and which would be of, and in the Bill of Rights we also read it very clearly that we've got key principles define South African sovereignty as a sovereign democratic state. We have civil, political, economical, social and cultural human rights of the people, and it prohibits grounds of discrimination, which includes race, gender, disability, religion, language, etc. So this is actually what our government departments should do in the first place. Now, the MRM is, as an institution, been created because government departments are not doing their jobs, and that is the bottom line. Chairperson, we've created another, I don't want to say another animal in the room or another elephant in the room, because it's been there for a while. I see it's not a lot of funding. But Chairperson, we are creating institutions in this country. We are looking that our government, where Minister Gordon is going to talk on it in the next day or two, on where to cut. Now, Chairperson, we are spending money on a lot of things which government departments should do in the first place. Let's go there. If you look at the pages, it becomes clear that these programs should be incorporated by the Department of Education, Health, Social Service. Although it's a civil society movement looking at values and morals, we must also understand that's morally right for me might not be morally right for the next person. So to say that we are pushing moral values, I might be an atheist, this next person might be a Christian, the next person might be a Muslim. So there are different moral values on different already on that. So Chairperson, I would really like to say that each of us are individuals in this country, and I really do believe that the MRM's existence should be questioned, as it seems to be the reason for existence is because it's actually quite clear that the government departments are not doing their jobs, and that is my statement on this. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I am also on the same feeling about the MRM that all that has been said about what it is doing, what it should have been done anyway by the government. So now there is just a department that is really doing what it is. It's a duplication of what is already should have been done. The question would be, what has MRM done since its conception about the moral situation in our country? What changes has the MRM can point directly that it is the result of its work? And what has the MRM did about the so-called foreign pastors and reverends who are continuously shredding the moral fiber of our people in South Africa? On the question of land, what do you mean that the MRM was looking at the moral ethics and values of the land issue? I don't understand that. And has the MRM looked at the real causes of how people decide on ways of protesting and what causes them to do what the MRM thinks that they are ethically wrong? And the morals, as my colleague says, they differ. You know, we cannot be run by a certain kind of moral value as if we're all Christians. Has the MRM, protected and guarded itself from being used as the propaganda vehicle that would seek to blindfold the people of South Africa? Have you, guarded yourself not to be used like that? And what is the MRM stance on the young students' future that is being destroyed? I'm talking about Kanye Tagesha when you talk about the FISMOS fall. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. I must honestly say it's the first time that I hear of this movement. I was wondering why you only rolled it out in 5 provinces and why not also the Western Cape. You said on page 3, signing of the Charter of Election Ethics by political parties in 2016 as a show of commitment. And I want to ask you on that specifically, how does this seem to work looking at the crime and corruption in the country? And then in the same breath, I would want you to maybe explain to us how do you measure your successes. On page 4, progress to date, your partnerships, I want to ask if you also work with community radios, because that's also a platform where you can reach a lot of people with very little cost.
you said that you indicate a few partners. I also want to ask of you, you mentioned that on page 4, the little money that you get from Sports, Arts and Culture, but the amount that you put out for projects that you want to do on the slides from 5 to whatever, is a huge amount, and there's no breakdown of what you actually, what your program is, what you're planning, what you, how do you want to spend the money. And I see that some of your partners, they ESCOM and Transnet, I would like to know from you, how do they contribute? Is it in money, or is it in what way do they contribute towards you? Because we all know around the, about the corruption around these two entities specifically. And then also the lottery, I see they also one of your partners, how much money you get from the lottery? And do DTI also support you in what way? Can we get an estimate of the money that you receive from all these partners that you have? And then also, we I hear that you say that you your state audit, your financials was has been audited, but we would like to have a breakdown of specifically your operational costs. We don't know how many people is working in your in your movement, how many people are actually getting a pay? Is this a just, as my colleague said, another way of creating jobs within government, where we really have departments that are rolling out these programs in the schools? You have values that children are being taught. So I also found it interesting, you said on, when you started out, you said that this charter that you've worked 5 years on this charter. It's 6 pages. How do you get that? It's concerning for me because this is actually mostly in the Bill of Rights, as my colleague also said, and also the Constitution. So it's just written in a different way, but it's actually underlining what we all already know. So for me, I really also would... if you can give us the answers on all these questions, then I would maybe be a bit more positive, because at the state of the country, the financial state, for me, it's difficult to just give money to just yet another entity or a movement when there's really people suffering out there, and we don't even get sufficient financial support of what you're doing with the money that we give you. It's not immoral. When you don't present that, when you come and present to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable
Boy. Oh, Kiala Boga, Modula Stilo, Mabute General. Well, firstly, I'd love to commend the good work that you are doing as MRM. These programs of going to taxi ranks, promoting road safety, talking to the IEC and so forth and so on. I'm only concerned about your focus on high schools. I know that MRM exists in institutions of higher learning. We used to have it at UJ. I know it is there at TFLOC, but do you have, how do you focus on high schools? Because the upbringing of kids is very, very important. Especially with regard to the music, the kind of music that they listen to. Honorable Madungos is a fighter, but I love his music. He speaks about love and so on, so on, Dera's time, blah, 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 and so on. But I'm worried about the kind of music that our kids are listening to. There is this song of the moment which promotes Daha and what you call, and drugs. When they dance, they do like this. What do you call it, this song? The song of the moment. What kind of song is that? How do you relate with Samro? Is it Samro or DJ? South African music, right? Yes. How do you relate with the music to the music that the kind of music that our kids are supposed to listen to? The other issue, it is on your branches, or what do you call them, in provinces. I know I used to lead the, what do you call it, Mpopo Geographical Names Committee, and we used to have MRM as one of the statutory bodies.
working in partnership with the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture in Limpopo. But now you are saying your offices are based in the Premier's office. Why did you move from the Department of Arts and Culture to the Premier's office? Lastly, will be on the finances. You said you are currently having 3.5 million, of which I think it is too little, Honorable Chairperson. When are you worried about small amounts? There is another million missing there from somewhere, but we'll get to that when we go to the next item. But I think the issue of budget, we must budget enough for this committee because it is doing a good job. It's what we're talking about. When you speak about moral regeneration, you speak about school sport, is the focus area that can bring our kids properly. It's correct. Some of us, we used to grow up admiring the likes of Father Sangaliso Mukacho. Yes, we used to be, we used to admire him because we wanted to be like him. And we're getting there. The only thing that I did not achieve is to get into the NEC of the ANC, but we're still going there. We'll get there when time goes on. Yeah, so the issue of the debate in Parliament is very important. I think we must table that motion, Honourable Weep, and I'll be able to lead it. Thanks very much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Honourable.
Thank you, Chair. I want to remind the member that we don't have a Weep here.
We have a Shadow Minister.
We don't have one yet.
But you call yourself a Shadow Minister.
No, but you're on a point of order. I mean,
yes.
Even here, okay, but it's fine.
Honorable members, when sometimes you like to call yourself with the text that you are getting from your party, don't feel jealous when others are calling, because as you are sitting here, we have about two shadow ministers that are writing themselves as shadow ministers. And when we are responding, we say, to you, shadow minister. So don't feel threatened when you are saying the whip, because we know that you also have a whip. So when now another party is saying to somebody a whip, you feel like that. Let's leave those things, because those titles you have given yourself, they are not in this committee. In this committee, there is a chairperson. But when you feel like your party is giving you other titles you called yourself, so it must not be an issue.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Father Mukacho and the leadership, we thank you for your presentation. One of the things I want to honestly to call, not congratulate, but to same sentiments with my colleague, Father Mfundi Sitina. He's our mentor. Sikulele Soweto, Gauteng. He was our mayor before. Now, Siyazazi umsebenzi wakho. Just on a that note, but in Zola Yamanshi. But we acknowledge your work that you've done. And as a young man, Nami Puma Skolene Sontweni, Mufunde Panswa Morality. But one thing that I wanted to find out, Chair, what causes the committee with the leadership, Yagababu Smangaliso? Why didn't you bring your financial statement? That is my first, because you've quoted books. There's a book that I want you to quote. It's Money, Morality, and Law. There's another book that you must read. It's Morality, Justice, and Economy. There's a book says, I'll give you the, there's a book, Edizwa, Good Values by Stephen Greens. Now, those are the books that they link. If someone comes and asks for money and he's not telling you what he has done with whatever that we gave him, it's questionable. We gave you money before, you don't even come in account, but you want more. We question morality, the value of goodness that you are doing. That is my introduction to. Why on your figures, there's a different, why do you have different figures on your slide 8? And I wanted to find out, what is the total expenditure per annum? Because you don't have this. Now I'm asking them, and then we'll go to, I have a detailed question on finances. What are your expenditure, annual expenditure total cost? And I wanted to find out your staff component. Your structure of staff is not here on your presentation. And for us to see, because you're talking of operational expenses, the 3.5 million goes to that. And I wanted to find out, what are the other fundings that you are not aware of that can you declare on this committee? Private sectors, can you name all of them? Do you receive any funding from other departments in government? What is the relationship between yourself and National Heritage Council? Can you get details? Do you get funding from them, or what relationship do you have? And I need an explanation, especially on modality that you partnership with the NHC. There's this perception, and it's public perception, that your entity or your organization, it's a church-like. And when you talk church-like, it's Christian-like only. It's not religious-like, but Christian-like. Those are perceptions that we have. And the perception that your organization is, again, above all, your movement is about it's a duplication of CRL. Those are perceptions that we have to address them. And I need to hear your input on that. Last question, Chair. What was the reason, why don't you have programs in Western Cape, or why did Western Cape did not sign when they signed, or can I get a picture on that when they signed the memorandum? You don't have any programs in Western Cape government or in the whole province? Why? What is the reason? And are they not buying the idea, or what is the reason? Thank you, Chair.
Can I follow up, please?
Thank you, Honorable Mkabane.
No, thanks, Chair. One is going to start by welcoming the presentation by MRM, Chaperson. We understand, Chair, that the civil society organizations have a role to play in socio-economic development of the country. That's why we actually welcome such kind of organizations in society, because they complement the work of the government. I really appreciate your work. I like what you are doing. Chair, but I have very few questions that I would love to ask. One is in relation to the BOB. What I want to get from the movement, or I don't know who's going to respond, is that, Chair, in terms of demographics, does it represent like everyone? I need to understand. And in terms of gender parity, how is the composition? Because when you look at other entities or boards, you could see that mostly they are male-dominated. I just want to get to that a picture of the BOG. Secondly, Chair, I see on slide 2, which is it page 2, yes, progress to date on this presentation, because the slides are not numbered, so it's quite difficult for me to actually indicate the slide number that I'm talking to. Chair, this one talks about the restructuring program. Chair, I see that they have established in 4 provinces. So what I want to get as well is that when are they envisaged to actually expand their footprint to other provinces? And what is hindering their progress in ensuring that they reach out to all these provinces within the country? Chair, my other in fact, this one is going to be a comment, Chair, on the program that they've done with the Gauteng province in relation to infrastructure development, the iCare We Care campaign, Chair. Just to say, Chair, I so wish they also look at not specifically on issues of protest, but also to look at the issue of vandalism of the existing infrastructure, because even if there is no protest, you could see that there are those elements within the community who vandalize the infrastructure. I think they will also play a crucial role in ensuring that we address this problem as a society. Chairperson, lastly, my comment was or is around the issue of the finances. Even if the report is not here today, I just want to get an indication on whether are there any spikes in relation to the audit findings that they have received from the private auditor or audit firm, and what are those, if there are any? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Malomani.
Thank you, Chair. Let me firstly welcome the presentation from the MRM. And I also like to say we are doing a good job, because I also see you in Mpumalanga, you are there. There is something that is happening. Yeah, in Mpumalanga. Because I'm from Mpumalanga, I won't speak about Limpopo that much, because I didn't see them doing maybe something, but I'll speak on from my own province that we are doing something, I can say. But what I want to check is that you've got your own programs and campaigns that you did put the budget, the estimated budget, but we don't know where are the campaigns going, to which province, how much are you going to spend. I think it will also be advisable that when you do those campaigns, so that we can be aware that there will be a campaign in this province, and this is the total cost of that campaign that is going, the budget, how are you allocating the budget, because we are in the 9 provinces, so that we can be aware of what we are doing. The other thing is that let me not speak about the issues of finances, because each and every person has touched the issue that it means as a committee we're not satisfied. We want to see how much have you been given, the 3.5, how did you spend, what are the challenges, where didn't you manage to go and do the campaigns because maybe of the budget, so that when we go and say maybe to the department, don't want to speak to the department to say maybe they can add another fund from the 3.5, we don't have the basics to say why, because we didn't see your financial statement, so that it can have everything. And even the issues of your administration, how many people are there, how are they structured, do you have any vacancies and everything. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me also take this opportunity to give thanks to our leader, Baba Mkhatshwa. We have learned a lot from you, and initially when this program was introduced, we hoped that it was going to do well. When we looked at, more especially in the issues of morals, we are all aware that things are not well in South Africa. So I'm not sure whether are you winning the battle or what regarding the issue of morals. You've been in place for almost 17 years. Now I'll wish to know that according to your analysis, are you winning the war on the issue of morals? Because South Africa is very, very low when it comes to morals. If you are not winning, what is your approach now that you wish to take, or what would be your turnaround strategies? We see that our young ones, they are involving in drugs, they are indulging in alcohol, even the issue of respect respecting older people and everything. That is part of your moral regeneration. And I'm also worried about the issue of these foreign pastors or foreign church leaders who are abusing our people. As a church leader or as a religious leader yourself, Father Mkatwa, what is it that you will do in order to save the people of our country? Because these foreign pastors, with their miracles that they are doing, they are abusing our people. So you, as the leader of this MRM, can you do something, or can you engage in honest? Because as much as they are part of the Christianity or whatever, but what they are coming with, it's misleading our people, where they are making even people to drink, to drink something which is not supposed to be taken as a human being. So what is it that you are going to do to protect them? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Father. My contribution was going to be the last contribution by honorable member, because as I'm sitting here, I know that where you're coming from, there are churches where people are eating grass, drinking petrol. Where I'm coming from in Eastern Cape, there's a Motoso case. So I know that the law is taking its course, but if we are there as this structure, how can you workshop to call communities in all provinces, let alone that you are not yet launched in some provinces, but even in those who have launched, we are seeing very scary things. When you talk of the rapes, the very same pastors are being accused of raping, who are going and supporting cases. But it's not only to go and support. It needs your committee that in cooperation and with the communities, you, I'm suspecting, can do a great work that all religious, they are preaching God. Others, so all those people are belonging to you. But when it comes to what is happening in South Africa, we even wondering whether from their countries, are they doing this? I'm suspecting you can be really a good link with your government, if you can do this work which we are doing, but also we are adding, saying that you need to have indabas, summits, workshop locally, in order that people, they must not forget that the grass is eaten by animals, we are not animals. The petrol is for the cars and whatever. But you see them that they are believing. So we want to say we need that we are strengthening the proposal to your work that we are doing. As we are sitting here, department is with us. We have said we have got about 26 entities, and these entities are too much. But as we are sitting here, we are seeing this, that it's one of our own. We'll look on the white paper that if they are cutting, they must cut accordingly. But until you bring the statement, financial statement, we'll talk better with you. But this is a good work so far. Thank you so much. If we can take responses from the members.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. First of all, I must appreciate the opportunity. As it was indicated that the last time the board had sat with the portfolio committee, it was 2015. That's a huge gap, which means that you have missed a lot. You could have corrected a lot from what is happening now. Also, congratulating you as new members in Parliament, wishing you all the best. Chair, I'm coming from the traditional leadership sector, representing traditional leadership sector in the board, from the National House of Traditional Leaders, which all the House is because it is, according to its constitution, responsible for the restoration of culture and customs, which is related to also the work of this committee. Chair, I must first also appreciate Parliament for having held a men's parliament. There was a resolution by Amadot from Parliament here, at looking at the description of a man, who is a man. And that is a proceeding, is happening in different provinces. You agreed as Amadot here from Parliament that we are going to have those parliament sittings in all provinces and all districts. You also agreed that you are going to have the boys' assembly addressing the issues of what we are addressing here, issues of a moral decay. So I appreciate what you are doing as parliament. But also to share with you, at a recent boys' parliament, it was held at Nyandin. Amakwenge said, abodada, they don't take care of them. I want to share with you as the members of parliament to consider that, but the report is still coming. Umukosi and religious sector have been regarded as the key stakeholders who may be able to deal with these issues of moral decay, because they have access to a lot of communities. And so that's why we have been identified to lead immoral regeneration, as in some members have said, this is Indo Yabefundis, also Amakhosi. That is how it started. But now, we, using that opportunity as leaders, we have got a lot of the programs, and we are just coming here tonight. It was a leadership to say, can we support us? Because as it was a leadership, to working together with the moral regeneration on dealing with the chart of positive values. We have got a lot of programs in different provinces. For instance, you have seen Indoni, which is supported by everybody. We are working together with Indoni, and Indoni is supported by the Department of Arts and Culture. And there, youth is owning that program, and they are taught a lot of issues. If your committee chair can also be part of those programs of Indoni and check what is happening there, you may find out some of the issues are addressed there. Also, from Ulwaluko, that is initiation, according to our culture, we use that as also a platform for us, for the youth, to address some of the issues. It's not only that the other medical part, but using that one, also asking for your support down there, because in provinces you have got a different ways of doing it. So can you support us from your provincial structures, provincial governments? It's by Samadota KZN. We've got by Samadota there. They are addressing the same issues we're talking about. Also, issues of families, members, family structures. As the National House of Traditional Leaders, working with other structures down there in provinces, we have got those the Committee of Traditional Customs, which is talking about issues of families. because externally decay, its structures is the key challenge we're faced with. So can you also assess, support those programs through it? That's part of MRM work, which is done by different provinces. If you go to Eastern Cape and Upper Province, you pick up those issues. But sometimes when you are presenting here, you may think that this is, we're just talking about issues right here. If you go down to provinces, you'll get those programs, and then you can support us also. There's this gender-based violence members, religious sector, and also transgender sector. We have been asked, the chairperson, to deal with the issue of Ibukos and transgender. They are the roots of patriarchy. We didn't want to dispute that. We said, let's address it. Let's not run away from it. How can we address it? And Ubukos have been asked to go and check on the practices, cultural practices that are said to be harmful to women, especially and children. So we have got, we are identifying those. So we are also asking you, your support also when going down there, as parliamentarians to support our program. In closing term, churches, when talking about churches, Ebukosi in working with also churches, for instance, in my area from Pedi, we agreed that each and every church which is coming there in Pedi, that is local municipality, local municipality, and Amatolite municipality, they must come to register to the Council of Churches so that they must be known. So Amakos have been warned, don't accept whoever is coming to your area to address these issues. So that is the work we are doing because of immoral regeneration, support to immoral regeneration. Through a sport chairperson, your committee, we can address these issues using e-sport. We can use e-sport from this committee and from this department using youth, because we believe that whatever program we're talking about, youth must lead. And early child development is very key. If we don't deal with early child development, we are going to go to a very but how do we try to nurture our children? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay.
Can I declare this thing also gonna just put in all those things? That's my cousin sister. I'm happy that in Ebu Kosini we are presented by your good selves, because it started at home with our Amakos saying that the boy child must not do ABC, and it's a culture to Ubutwala. So I'm happy that when we are there, you remember that even back home, we are fighting what we are saying. I'm very, very happy, because this Ubutwala and this boy child started at home, especially a culture saying that no, Lengwengwe cannot wash dishes, cannot cook, any other.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I'll just touch on a couple of points and leave my colleagues to make whatever appropriate additions they wish. Well, first of all, we normally, at least during the times of the Reformation and so on, they used to speak about Vox Populi, Vox Dei. Literally meaning the voice of the people is the voice of God. Now, why I'm referring to that one is that I've already told you that in 2002, almost 3,000 people, delegates from all provinces, took the decision to create MRM. And they also made it very clear that they did not really want MRM to be run by government. Because whether you like it or not, the element of politics is full of contestation and so on. So you want an entity, you want a body that actually should be able, or at least can be regarded as all-embracing.
So I'm therefore saying it's a matter of principle. We've been following what the people have asked us to do. Secondly, Chairperson, I I'll be the first one to admit that MRM is not perfect. Neither is any political party nor any church or anything. No institution is perfect. So we're all trying our best, given opportunities, given the circumstances and so on, and that's what MRM has been doing. I would even go further to say, you know, the church has been in existence, that's now the Christian church, has been in existence for over 2,000 years. And yet you still have sinners, you still have people that are doing the wrong things, that are anti, you know, the Ten Commandments and so on. So you cannot then say, yeah, the churches must close shop because after 2,000 years they've not sorted out all the evils of the world. Life does not work that way. So in other words, all what I'm saying is that we, all our shortcomings, we're making our contribution, and we believe that because so many sectors, as far as I know, there's not a single sector that has come out to say, oh, well, you know, MRM, we don't need it, we don't, it should not exist. They're all saying yes, but it also has some weaknesses here and there, and what I'm hearing is some of you saying, please correct that to strengthen your work. That is to be acceptable with all humility and so on. So that's not an issue at all. But I was also thinking that the chairperson, the honorable members here would be much more interested in a strategic engagement. You know, I mean, I accept the fact that if at all you've given someone 10 rand, and that 10 rand must be accounted for, when you have a meeting with that person, they must tell you what has happened to the 10 rand. That's fair enough, that's straightforward. But for me, that is much easier. The question of, you know, the use of the resources, the question of staffing, the question of how offices run, those are practical issues that are easiest to handle because before the end of this week, you could have that information in writing straight away. That's not a problem. Where the problem lies, as far as I'm concerned, is really at the intellectual strategic engagement. We want to define among ourselves what this MRM entity, what intervention it should be making, and maybe how best it can be. Now, that's a very important and a long-term discussion, and which, of course, to us is very, 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 very important. As I said, Chairperson, right from the beginning, we're not here just to give a report, but also to listen to you carefully, because you are our allies. Because that's how things ought to, as public representatives and so on, to ensure that what we are doing on behalf of the community, but with a community that is really given a chance to go forward. Chairperson, during the days of the Mzabalas, I'm sure some of you will remember that in order to fight the system of apartheid, to fight for justice, we organized all communities into street committees. And the reason why we did that, we wanted to make sure that there was a buy-in from the people living in a particular area. And the upshot of that exercise was very interesting. Some of you will remember. If you are caught raping or rape someone and so on and so on, that community dealt with you. It was the community, and the community set the agenda that La Wamkhajwa, you don't rape, you don't attack women. You don't, you know, those kinds of social ills and so on. It was a community standing together against that. But you cannot rely on policemen all over the place, or even on government for that matter. So you've got to make sure that there is a buy-in from the different communities that they move forward together with you. Lastly, and of course, maybe let me also quickly add a rider here. If you set up those street committees, don't politicize them, otherwise they won't work. In other words, every person by virtue of being a citizen or a resident in that should actually be able to participate freely and actively. But once you politicize it, then it's going to die before it even started. Now, just to conclude, I think I'll probably, to try and address the question of some of the things that we are doing, we've done specifically to address some of these issues. I think I'm going to ask Professor Zulu just to share with you briefly a project that MRM, the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, and we're also going to be involving other departments, interested departments. What tools are we producing in order to strengthen the work that we are doing? Because some people have always said, you cannot run MRM by isolated events. It cannot be events-driven. We should find a way of implanting it, giving it roots in the communities, in the areas where we are working. And I think Mr. Chaka has slightly alluded to that. Prof?
To you, Prof.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, ladies and gentlemen. Let me start by answering one of the questions, and that pertained to why the Charter, or the Charter of Positive Values, took 5 years. The production itself did not take 5 years. It was the processes that went into the production. The first thing was to acknowledge that we're a plural society, and therefore if we're going to deal with the Charter of Positive Values, it should not exclude anybody, inclusive. And the only document that was inclusive was the South African Constitution. We therefore went through the Constitution, extracting various values that we felt all South Africans subscribed to, generated a draft document, had a panel of experts. Literally, the name Charter of Positive Values came from our present minister, Naledi Pandor, who was also one of the panel of experts that the secretariat, which I led, reported to. We also consulted various communities in all the provinces. We went to Polokwane, we went to Ekurhuleni, we went to a number of capitals of the various provinces and had discussions and deliberations with the various key stakeholders. Eventually, the charter was generated and produced and then launched in 2006. And I think that is where the 5 years comes from, so the actual production. Nonetheless, let's come to the present. We've been in constant dialogue with Father Mukatra, visiting us, and other members who were panelists in the panel of experts that worked towards the production of the charter, trying to look for an implementation framework and strengthening moral regeneration. The starting point was that moral regeneration cannot be reduced to events or to launches, that campaigns had to be part of a bigger whole, and that there had to be much more greater access to the greater South African community. We therefore agreed eventually to generate what we would call the flesh of moral regeneration, booklets that would be used by various constituencies or sectors to strengthen their various sectors, put it that way. The first booklet is for the school children, which will be used in schools, and we hope that the mechanism is to use the life orientation lessons, where lessons on citizenship as part of life orientation. If they were to be citizens, we had to describe the nature of the society that they were to be citizens in and how they were to conduct themselves within that citizenry in order to promote the good society that we envisage. All booklets more or less have the same format. They start with the philosophy and rationale of being where one is. If there was to be a booklet which we are producing for parliamentarians and legislators, they start with the whole rationale and philosophy of parliament, the whole issue of representation, public representation. They then address the current ills that are being noticed and widely spoken of in the various sectors, not only parliament, in the unions, in the political parties, in the youth, in the society in general. There are 8 of these booklets. One for school children, the second one for the youth, third one for trade unions, the fourth one for parliamentarians and legislatures, the fifth one for political parties, the sixth one for the private sector, the seventh one for servants in the public sector, and the 8th one addresses the issue of gender-based violence. And as I say, they all follow the same format. The philosophy and the rationale.
On a point of order, the movement already had time to present what they're doing. They're not answering the question. So we also have other very urgent matters that we need to discuss. How long are we still going to spend? What is the time frame for this presentation? Because I feel it's not right that we don't get answers on what we actually ask and must listen again to what they're actually planning and what they already have done. It's not right.
I'm suspecting when we're inviting visitors or people to come and present, they are given each task to respond. I was listening because the chairperson of themselves is saying that, Professor, please take us through, and in reality is that what the professor is telling us, no one did tell us what he is saying. So I don't think it's a repetition. If we can listen, and if when he ended, we may raise a follow-up question which was not responded to. I think...
Chairperson, I don't want to bring you to order as a chairperson, but chairperson, when there is a presentation, the chairperson tells the people to present in a certain time. Then there are questions. There are certain procedures in any organized meeting. So, chairperson, I would please refer it to you that we stick with that. You were telling us the other day that when we have a meeting that we follow the procedures as on the paper. Now, chairperson, they did the presentation. There's questions after that. There was nothing on answers. There was no follow-up. So I'd like you to please also then stay with your decisions, because you're making decisions as it suits you at this stage, which I can't stay with. Thanks, Chief.
According to the table, because we've seen that they did come for the first time, and the document was saying at 11:30 we'll be finishing. And I even, if you were looking, I did give the secretary the paper to the second presenter. I did immediately refer to himself that he must round up, because at 11:30 we are finishing. So I'm suspecting that they are all aware about that. So we are looking at the time. At 11:30 we'll be taking another commit. So we are aware of that.
Thank you, Chair. The question was, what is the turnaround strategy? What are we doing to rectify or to go further? And this, I believe, was an answer to the turnaround strategy. How does the MROM envisage turning around strategy and attending to the ills that are there? What lessons have they learned? You one develops a turnaround strategy from the lessons that one learns from what is happening. And this is literally that answer. The booklets, which are going to be the life and soul of the MROM, that could lend themselves to easy dissemination, A, because of the existence of the constituencies where most of the people are found, and B, because of the existence of a media network in South Africa, radio and television, and the booklets lend themselves to discussions in those forums and sessions. And that's why we literally, I was asked to present them. And this is what they are. As I say, there are eight of them. I've explained the philosophy. I've explained the order in the writing. And finally, what they are intended to achieve.
Chair, we've never asked, there's no member who asked about philosophy. What we are asking you, Chair, direct, yes, we are new here and there's a protocol that usually say if after presenting they must answer questions, can we get that, Chair? I want to concur with my colleagues that we need answers, not presentation again.
Can I correct the way that we are doing the meeting today? When people are answering questions, they are not saying yes or no. They do give a background. For instance, when I was saying that when the professor was giving this answer, the way forward, we didn't have about these eight ways of doing a turnaround strategy. So I'm saying that by this now, professor, I finished and I was giving him that time that it must finish. So we are still correct, Prof. The next hand.
I'm greeting you all. I just want to respond to two questions which are part of the concern, that is the representation of other religions. Other religions are all welcome. It's not about Christianity only. For instance, with me, I'm a traditional practitioner in Kudala. As per the Constitution of South Africa, the MRM has taken consideration of not discriminating any religion because each and every one has got his own or her beliefs. For the MRM, for instance, to have a Magqirha like myself, were the people who consult and see most of the community members. There are social ills done by Bangomas, which are so barbaric, which we tend to say no to what we don't like or we don't want, just like in church. Again, there was a question about gender in MRM. Here we are, it's not the only two of us. We've also taken note of who is presented in our movement. I will reverse, by the way. I must thank you guys, or comrades, or for having welcomed us. Not that I'm rating you, but your response to us shown humility in that you said we are bringing something good, which is our intention, as much as we've got our hiccups. Utagum Kachwa says there is no organization without hiccups. And we are here really to learn from your critics. I thank you.
Thank you very much.
leaders of society who are here today. It is our pleasure in the sixth parliament that for the first time you do come to us and you greet us. We're not aware, we've been not in parliament, we've been not in this place, and now we know now when the department is talking about your work, what it is. So on those words, we listen carefully and we are going to do it, assist to the oversight, because so many departments supposed to be with you. We call school, social development, and the ministry in the presence, as well as you here, would love to check how do they relate with you. How are we going to know that if you didn't come in person? With those words, thank you so much. We'll call you again, but don't forget to bring your structure, fully fledged structure. Don't forget to give us audited statements. Because it's the first time that we are coming here, we were thinking that you were aware that those things are needed. But we are saying, please bring those to the office or give it to the member.
Wonderful, Chair. Chair, I think we cannot allow the board members or members of the movement just to go without answering our questions. We cannot. That's a waste of taxpayers' money. And we can. My questions were not answered. My colleague's question on ESCOM, what linkage? They were not answered. My question with duplication of. They were not answered. All questions, I'll leave them, Chair, maybe for them to know them. And one thing that I wanted to find out, when the secretary invited them, didn't he tell them the purpose of the meeting? They gave us presentation, they must respond.
Honorable, with due respect, I was expecting that whilst they were still giving the responses, as usual, you're supposed to say that my questions or our questions are outstanding. We are going to give them that time. Yes.
Wait, don't further check. My colleague, both of them, they've raised that the presentation was out of questions that we've asked. That was the first of my colleague raised the point of order. Now, my questions were not answered. Composition of staff, it was not answered. Funding with private sector. They don't get any funding from any private sector. I'll repeat all of them. Partnership with NHC. It was not answered. The modality with the NHC. What exactly are they doing with NHC? Issues of ESCOM were not answered. Issues of UNISA. What relationship do they have with UNISA? Those questions were not answered. Last question. I've raised a concern and I don't expect to say, no, yes, you must account for terrorism. That was the response from Honorable Mfundisi Mkhatshwa. Yes, you must, that is not a fair answer. This committee is doing an oversight work. They must account and they must tell us. We gave them money.
No, thanks, Chairperson.
It's not a point of order, I can proceed.
Honorable,
I was still speaking.
Sorry, Honorable Mkhawu.
What I'm saying is not a point of order, Chair.
But I just want to put my money on the table for giving you some headache.
It's
a point of order. He knows the rules.
I must ask what I'm saying, because you raised the hand whilst the professor was on the floor. So we are still on the floor. I'm still Honorable Mama Wolo raising the hand. I'm asking him, what is it? Is it a point of order?
Yeah, it's a point of order.
That's a procedure of the meeting.
Chairperson, thank you very much. You see, this group of Muslims living in the conversation was treated Honorable Mutongo a lot. I know you're so touched.
Point of order, Chair.
Okay, so Chair.
Honorable Zuma left. We've never raised this year. He's raising with Honorable Musi left. It's not a point of order, Chair. It's just a frivolous comment.
Shall I give a way forward?
It has to be about quality.
And that's
shall I give a way forward? Shall I give a way forward?
Honorable
members,
Honorable
Council,
sure.
Can I give the
delegation
to answer those questions?
Can I continue with all the questions?
Chair,
to answer? I was still on the floor. That
Chair,
was not a point of order. Chair, another question.
Chair.
Just a moment,
Honorable Mamabu. Yes, I'll do the podium. Chair, I would suggest that perhaps you should allow members of the board, maybe we should do what? Give them maybe another date, a sooner date, where they can bring those financial and other answers, proper answers. I mean, you know, this is more of being being put in a corner. You'll answer something which is the members of the board. So now, I'm saying how about we give them maybe a sooner date, and I give them a chance to their financial and what you call proper answers for the Chairperson. Otherwise, we'll be here the whole day. Thank you very much.
Can I still continue? Are you sustaining this order? Is that an order? Procedure can let the chair of this
That's an order, and I'm proceeding.
It's an order to say people must come with the next meeting.
You've seen Honorable Mshongo.
Maybe my colleague was correct to say.
Honorable Mshongo.
You must use. What you do on your left, you must use on your right.
Honorable Mshongo. Do you have the chairperson in this office that you have recognized me?
I'll only recognize you when you shoot that justice. This is not justice. This one is not a point of order.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we are a committee, and as a committee, we are all colleagues, and we are here on one mandate to make sure that each and every structure comes into account. But if we can see as a committee that the structure, there are other things that are not ready, it will be our plea to say, let's give them structure so that they come back and present everything to us according to what we're expecting. So as a committee, we mustn't just maybe point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The other thing, we've got one chairperson that has been appointed here. So we need to respect the chairperson. And what I know in the meeting, that the decision of the chairperson is final. And if you're not satisfied with that decision, there are other means that you can do so. So let's respect the chairperson. But what I'm proposing today is that I can see that we've got challenges and we need to manage time. We've got the money that wants the department to account, the next item. So can we give them a space? Secretary, I think, has noted the questions that we raised to the MRM. Let them be given the questions so that they can come and respond in the next time. Let us give them that space so that they come back, because it shows that there are other things that maybe they didn't respond. But let's ask the secretary to say, Secretary, can you do an urgent maybe meeting again with the RMM so that they can come and respond to those questions that they didn't ask, so that we can continue with our program of today, because we won't finish the program. That's my plea. Thank you.
In
other meetings, when the questions are not finished according to honorable members, we always ask that they must do a written question. But if we feel like written question or call them to come, because this is a fifth-year plan year. This is the first day that they are with us. If I can propose that my closing remarks are still saying that let's release them and let's note what we are saying with other members, that all the outstanding questions, they must be forwarded to the secretary, and if they can respond it by reply or when you are coming next order, we'll also call them, because this is the first time of the kind
that was all we had. I'm proposing that.
Chair, I was still on the floor. Do you allow me to raise what I was raising because you sustained the order, and I'm going back to the order?
With your respect, Honorable John, I'm saying I'm making you that he left take the route that I'm summarizing by saying that we have noticed that there are questions which are not responded to. Can we not continue with this meeting with the note that there are still outstanding questions that they will be forwarded to my office secretary, and then they can respond in writing or we'll call them in the next order. I'm just pleading that can we close now this chapter by those words? I'm pleading.
Chair, I commend that you, but I wanted to make clear things. It's not because I don't respect you. I think you're now getting to know me. If I'm not getting fair response, I must raise that concern. It's not because I don't respect you. I respect you as the chair. Now, there's this perception that I don't respect you, and I know procedure right. That's how I wanted to find out you sustain the orders. That is a procedural matter. Now, one of the things that I wanted to note, Chair, 90% of questions were not answered. I'm not going backward. 90%. Now, and one of the things I was protesting, I want to make it clear, I'm not going back, Chair. I was protesting because it's like you were immediately after Doctor, after Dukuluma, so Doctor Baba, you were saying no, you're summarizing. And I was feeling great that you didn't answer even a question, our new member. Your question was not answered. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Members, the chairperson of the entire committee. Thank you so much. We are hoping that the outstanding questions, the secretaries they were writing, and the Honorable Members who have outstanding questions, they will forward them to the two secretaries of the committee, and then we would love that you must respond in writing. But coming next quarter, when I'm coming back, we'll call because we are all have interest in your work that you are doing. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much.
I don't know if I'm going
to be able to do
Honorable members, can you sit down? Let's continue with our Honorable members,
This department must come closer.
That are made
very vicious allegations against the department using this concept of 100 million. So I am not in a position to present, Honorable Chair, missing millions. It rather be that the committee accept I'm presenting on allegation around the missing millions. Then I'll be in a position to go forward and present. But I don't have a presentation that talks to a missing 100 million. So I just need that clarity for the record, Chair, because otherwise I would be misleading this house with my presentation.
Honorable, I'll give it to the committee members, but as I was opening, welcoming you, when we debated during our APPs, we were saying that thank you to the minister of this department to tell us about this 100 million ledge to be taken, and the responses and the responses that we did get, and as the chairperson and other committee members, we were thanking the department to take that process of investigating. And as we're sitting here, we know what was their response, but let alone that other members, they felt that this item must come back. But I do understand when you're saying that missing 100 million instead of allegation, and I don't want to repeat the responses of the department, but it's in our own minutes. I'm putting it to the committee, Honorable Ziyade, Honorable Mshongo, Honorable Fanu.
Chairperson, the agenda we have adopted, item 5 says a briefing by the Department of Arts and Culture on the Msanzi Golden Economy Project. If we take it from there, and if the presentation flighted here by the DG is going to cover the allegations, then we're comfortable. And as committee members, we'll probe if there's something that we want to probe. But this is the agenda we have adopted.
Thank you, Honorable Sia. Honorable Musa.
Chair, maybe the DG saw it on our website, parliamentary website, committee to brief. So someone is telling me well, I apologize. It says committee to brief on Mzansi Magic Mzansi Golden Economy Project missing 100 million. That is the website of this parliament, says that. Missing. And when it's there, and it continues to say when you go to... Now, I'm trying to... I concur with DG, because even the parliament says missing, it doesn't say allegedly. And the parliament website is a communication whereby even South Africa, they now know that there's a missing, not allegedly. And why you are raising this chair, I think you've raised that. We wrote letters, even on my speech, I was saying that. And the minister tried to come up with, now, maybe, Chair, what I would propose, since the DG does not have a missing, he has a presentation of Mzansi, can we ask him questions based on what he has presented now, than for us to waste time, because we have questions that we know that we wanted to find out. That is my proposal, Chair.
Honorable the DG, can you take number 5 as it's written? And I'm suspecting the media, the recording, it's noting what we are talking about.
irrespective of what is on the paper, the way that it was put. Honorable Klaus, I didn't want to complain because you were going to ask me why I didn't correct that, but I've seen the way that was put, it was not right, but you are not there. Let's take as it is now.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the guidance on the matter and Honorable Members. Can I then, Honorable Chair, advise the committee that when we realize that there might be the issue of context missing, we then revise the presentation from slides 1 to 7, and then we will then go as per the presentation that we had forwarded, so that we talk to the MGE strategy and what it funds, and then we get into the nitty-gritty of the items that were then indicated that we must also then account for and provide. So that is how we had to do this in order to make sure that the MGE is understood by all. So our context will talk to the overall strategy of MGE, then the City Press article arising of which then those items, Lady Smith Black Mamba Zone, National Empowerment Fund, Indoni Youth Empowerment, Usiba Awards, Living Legends Trust, as well as what is currently being done. So that is how we have tried to assist the committee to have the context of Mzansi Golden Economy and what it does. Noting also, Chair, Honorable Chair, as you had indicated, that this is not the first time this matter was raised prior and today. We are, but however, presenting it in the context of ensuring that we account to this August House. So, Honorable Chair, on the MGE strategy, the idea and the purpose of this was to reposition the arts and culture sector. In other words, the culture and heritage sector as an economic growth sector and be able to introduce programs that will contribute to one of the most key issues is the issue of unemployment that we need to fight and make sure that they create jobs. Then secondly, creative and cultural industries be included as priority sector for implementation of the new growth path. By its own definition, the growth path meant that we identify areas of employment creation which have got possibility to create large-scale jobs, which will result in substantial changes in the conditions of South Africa as well as globally. The developing of a policy package to facilitate employment creation in these areas, but also comprehensive drive to enhance both social equity and competitiveness using this sector, but also to achieve systemic changes to mobilize domestic investment around activities that can create sustainable employment, strong social dialogue, to focus on all stakeholders on encouraging growth in the employment creating activities. So in achieving that, the idea was then how do we, what strategies, plans and programs that will contribute to job creation. We targeted art disciplines that have potential to be a value contributor, I must emphasize that. Those, because we've got a plethora of art disciplines, but there are those that have got a competitive edge that can be able to contribute to economic growth, job creation, as well as stimulating economic development. This will go, for example, the issue of the film sector that is seen as a key strategic lever for transformation as well as economic growth. Film publishing, books and publishing, the issue of craft, visual in particular, the music. So the implementation of these strategies must address all aspects within the very chain of that particular
add discipline.
Wonderful, Roger. Chair, I'll urge the DG maybe to summarize. It's not an order, which are out of order. To, you know, one of the things that the chair, I'm thinking of time. We've received this presentation via an email, and maybe we can summarize, not go, you go line by line, and for us, it's, that's my proposal. Can you maybe give us a executive summary, and then we move on? That's my proposal, sure.
This one, this presentation, starting with, we didn't get it. That's how he is saying that after he saw the way that the agenda has been put in the whatever, decided to put this what is taking us through. So that's why he started there.
I will do my best, Honorable Chair, to summarize. Among other issues, then, was to encourage and assist in the sustainability of business models for the arts organizations, SMMEs, as we can see there. But also, that meant we must have what we call incubator programs, supported growth, as well as exit strategies to eliminate perpetual dependencies. But also to then build and grow arts and heritage sites. As well as develop cultural precincts, special economic zones, build a capacity and consciousness of the sector, and that we must improve production and dissemination of local content. Now, NGE World has got work streams, a work stream that deals with what we call open calls. The open calls are three work streams mainly. It's cultural events, as well as the touring ventures, and public art. The above work streams are subjected to what we regard as panel review. When we receive these proposals, then there is a process which is undertaken to make sure that they are adjudicated, and eventually a decision is made on those that to be supported. That applies to these open call work streams. Now, the problem of project costs related to the implementation. We also look at the infrastructure costs directly associated with the approved project. We look at artist fees directly involved in approved projects, marketing and communication. And then, out of the value that is requested, we always retain that the 10% must be used for purposes of administration. This is because there was a challenge, Honorable Chair, that people will say they don't have money to then get their books audited, and then we'll get unaudited books. Then the department had to decide that on every funding amount, a 10% must be used for that for the purpose of administration, but it should not be more than that. Because also when people would account, they will come and find that they will use almost more than 10%, and therefore then the value of what the project supposed to deliver is far less than that. So what happened then, which gave rise to this whole saga now, is in relation to this propaganda. I'm saying propaganda based on the city press, because if you look at the definition of what is propaganda, it's an attempt to try and influence people using dissemination of information, which might be false information or half-truth information, which will sway the minds of the people, either to hurt someone or an institution. Now, this is propaganda that we have responded to in terms of the city press. Firstly, they sent us a document, a question, a set of questions on the 4th of July, where they had a list of questions around this MGE funding. We then responded on the 5th to all the questions. However, they came back and indicated that they have another major matter that they will be covering, they will not be covering on that particular weekend. Therefore, then they postponed. Then the department responded to the press on Sunday, the 15th of 2019, that there was a whistleblower who made claims that Zanzibar Economy funds are allocated to artists without checks and balances. The newspaper alleged that there was questionable funding deals on the 100 million at the department. And we then, after subsequent to that,
since the 14th of July, City Press report. On the 16th, we decided, realizing that our responses to them had not been captured properly, we then decided to put these our responses on the 16th of July onto the website of the department, so all the members here, if they go there, they will find those detailed responses to the City Press on the items raised. Now, among those that they were raising this issue of questionable funding is about Lady Smith Berg Mambaso. And we want to say here, Honorable Chair, our association with Lady Smith Berg Mambaso is not in question. This is an institution in its own who has been able to sustain what has been marginalized for years, exported that and put in pedestal this country, such that even the Americans who gave them recognize what they have been able to achieve, still don't know how to classify their music. But it is a genuinely South African taste of music that we offer to the world. Therefore, and what they have achieved is quite amazing. So when they came with the proposal, as I explained before, was that they wanted to have what we call a mobile academy, with the view that eventually they will build a proper academy. And based on their proposal, as we know that Baba Shabalala is very old now, the second generation has taken over, but they also have created a third generation of Mambazo. Now their concept was that it will also go across the country and not just indoctrinate people in terms of the songs in Zulu, but that is per the demography of all the provinces. They will use the languages of those provinces. So we must demystify the myth that this is about indoctrinating people about Zulu songs. This is incorrect, is inappropriate, and is misleading. So they came then with the three-year proposal, which we looked at based on the scale of the work that they will do. And with that proposal, then the department committed that we will then give them 12 million rand over 3 years, annually over 3 years. The group has since then reported and submitted their funding proposal for the next 2 years. We always enter into a memorandum of agreement with beneficiaries. And we did that on the, has been concluded on the 4th of October 2019 for the year 2019-2020. The first tranche was processed on the 4th of October for them to be able to proceed their work. There was then this malicious allegation that alleged that the purpose or sole purpose of this thing, or in one of the motives, was to fund former President Zuma's CD or recording of an album. We found this quite strange, in fact, because the Honorable members will remember that there was first an allegation that, in fact, Echegweni Metro were the people who funded this project. So suddenly comes back, and the Echegweni rejected that claim. Now suddenly in a fishing expedition, the attempt was to find out if it was not Echegweni, then whom. And then they decided to use this concept. This is untrue, it is ineffectual, and cannot in fact stand the test of scrutiny. And we were to reject it because the taxpayers' money was not in any way going to be used for recording of an album, neither by the former president nor by any other president. Now, there is this National Empowerment Fund. I spoke about venture capital previously, that this was the product of hard work that was done to assess what are the needs of creatives in the industry, and based on that, there was an indication out of that research that indicated that access to funding resources is a challenge for creatives. They need to have collaterals that they cannot afford. They are expected to fund, to have the interest rates charged by commercial banks that were very high. And therefore then the question was, how do we
make sure that they are offered loans. Those who have a bankable proposal of their business and be able to then repay that loan at a minimal rate. That is why it's called venture capital. Now, there was then a process that was undertaken, which is a process called competitive bidding process, where all were called upon, those who are able to manage a venture capital, to come on board and bid for this job. This then responsibility was then done through the consultation with the National Treasury, and the committee that was established was a committee of experts who have a clear understanding about. That is why we call it a special bid adjudication committee of the department. It did not only involve the department. Where was this advertised? This was advertised on the new, on the Sultan, the New Age, as well as the Star, as well as the Government Gazette. We can give you the number of that Government Gazette for you to be able to check if that is accurate. How many bids were received? It was 26 proposals that were received and adjudicated. And the panel then were appointed based on their expertise, as I indicated, and the department then allocated this 100 million over a period of 3 years. Now, if we look at that breakdown of over 3 years, it was going to be 20, 30, and 50 million. To date, of that commitment, the department has dispersed 75 million rand. So this could not be funded through an MGE concept of saying it was some kind of suspicious funding. This was a competitive bid. This was a process that was done openly, and we received the 26, and there was an adjudication process. We just indicate here the newspapers where these things were being advertised, as you can see there. Coming to Indoni, as was asked, I don't know if recently the honorable members and the honorable chair were watching TV, I think it was Channel TV2, where they were showing the work of Indoni, and an amazing program that transmits our values and our cultures and educates young people about their own identity and gives them opportunity to learn cultures of others. And it is run in multiple provinces. This program, then the department has over the last financial year, 2018 and 2019, paid Indoni Empowerment an amount of 8 million and 10 million respectively, totaling 18 million rand to implement their national program. They report an account for the funds they use. Even when we needed to be sure of its impact, they were able to do so. And then, so we then commissioned South African Cultural Observatory, who then did their evaluation of the work of Indoni, and the results are there for everyone to see. Currently, a proposal for Indoni has been received and approved for the last financial years of 10 million rands per annum. Several awards was an allegation in relation to this, that it was one of those who benefited. Osiba Awards, as I explained previously, this was a program that after looking at the fact that recognition has not been done, in fact, if I were to remind honorable members, there have been allegations that the department is only visible and respect and recognizes the creatives and the artists. when they are on their deathbed. And that we are a department of mourners. Then the minister, we then looked at what can be done to recognize that is other than what the government does in relation to the national honors. Then the best thing was to look at the institution that is responsible for organizing the sector, and that is CIFSA, and task them with the initiative to have ministerial SIBA awards. And that was done. And OSIBA was allocated, sorry, and then OSIBA awards were allocated for 12 million. The inaugural awards were then hosted on the 31st of May 2018. And they've accounted and they've provided their report on the 11.5 million that has been used for that. And then on the first and the second narrative and financial reports, they have submitted to the department. On the Living Legends Legacy program, which then the task was formed. The department, again, looking at the plight of the people who, when they have plied out their trade, exercised their craft, hoisted South Africa's flag very high, but when they reach the age of 70, they are left on their own devices. Some of them with the legacy were coming from unable to reap the rewards of their work and then be left destitute. Then it is important that they do not become people who then are a dependent on government. And therefore, the concept was, what can they do so that they continue to access, to practice their trade on their own without being seen as dependent of government? That is the concept behind which then. So they will use then, they create their own opportunities, have their own programs. When that was then done, the department committed to allocate 20 million rand as a seed fund for them to be able to then start running their own programs. The department transferred 8 million rand to the trust. After they had opened an account at the FNB on the 17th of September 2018. Unbeknown to us, the three members who were tasked by the legacy, led by the legends, to open the trust and open the account, one of them, after the money was deposited, using electronic banking system, withdrew the money just within the 18th of September to the 5th of October to the value of just about 7,997,000 rand, which meant only about 2 rand was left in that account. When that came to the attention of the minister, as well as the report by the legends, Mama Mbuli, Leta Mbuli Simenya, as well as Dr. Elizabeth, I then met with them. The minister indicated that swift action should be taken, and indeed, already then, the legends, shocked about this, had started with the process to initiate criminal case to be opened. That was opened, and as we all know, that on the 15th of October 2019 at Palm Ridge Magistrate Court in Johannesburg, then the chairperson was Ms. Msomi, was then found guilty, pleaded guilty to all the counts of fraud that were placed before him, and he will then be sentenced on the 28th of November. While he remains remanded in custody. It is incorrect that already the department had transferred 10 million. It was 8 million. Department intends to transfer the 12 million, which is the balance. So because the bank account that was used there to be frozen until the process happened. We could not transfer the 12 million. Engagements also with the bank had to be undertaken to see how the bank can assist in terms of recovery of the money. There has been an agreement with the bank to reimburse the Legends Trust with a sizable amount of money, which at this stage remains confidential until the conclusion of the agreement. And that is, they have indicated that this should be a confidential agreement. We are in the process at this stage then to finalize the signing of that agreement so that that amount of money will be reimbursed to the trust. And I believe that those were the main issues that we were asked to account for and to clarify. I thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Member.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's not alleged missing, but it's part not accounted for that was presented. My question first to the department is, you say it's propaganda, but to me it's defamation, and I was wondering why did this department then not take the City Press to court if you've got all the proof of what is being put forward to you. According to the City Press article or media statement, it stipulates the department's rules with regards to the threshold for funding, and it clearly says that if it's 1 million rand for individuals and 2 million for events and tours, there must be a committee that decides on this matter. Now, on each of these cases that was presented to us, we as the committee want specifically the first the request for all of these monies. We want to see the minutes of the committee where they were sitting and who decided on this. Because on this email or also in this media statement, it also clearly says that it claims that, there were two or three people that has decided on these projects, and they clearly names the minister and also the DG and also the, what is the other person? Let me just get that. The general, director general. Now I have in my hand, I have proof of where the DG signed in two capacities, and he signed off for projects on this Mzansi Gold project. And I want to know, how is it possible, is that not a conflict of interest? How is it possible that he can decide who gets the money and he also signs off for it? So I want clarity on that. And also, all as I said, as a committee, we need to be transparent, and I think also the committee. This brings me to the point where we set in our annual report or in our the AG report, brings me back to that also. The department has requested condonation of 436.8 million from National Treasury, which includes irregular expenditure incurred in previous financial years. I want then from the DAC that they put out precisely what have we here condoned, because is it bailing money that was supposed to be part of this missing 100 million files. Then I want to go to slide number 5. I want to know who sat on the special bid committee of the department, who signed off for these documents, and can we be provided with committee approval? And also have a breakdown of who received loans stemming from this specific National Empowerment Fund. Then on slide 6, Induni Youth Project, that project, the payment for the Miss Cultural Festival was made afterwards.
And we also need to know who signed off for this, and can we see the evaluation that was entailed with this? Because it's important that we know what exactly happened there, how the event took place, but the money was allocated afterwards, and there was a comment in the specific newspaper where they actually said they cannot take responsibility for how the department allocates money, and it's actually a bad reflection on our department. Then the city press also make allegations on the files that are missing. Where are these files, and will it be possible to provide these files to the committee members? If we see them in proof, maybe we will also believe, because it is, as you say, if we don't have, the proof is in the pudding. Then slide 7, I want to know with regards to the Yeshiva Award, is the Creative and Cultural Industries Federation of South Africa being investigated by special investigation, and if, why? Okay, and then these one or two last questions. The film and publication of this First National Bank offered to pay a contribution towards the Living Legends Trust of 8 million. Has this happened? And what progress has been made to recover the funds stolen from the LLL programs? And also with regards to the Indoni Youth Project, we want to see the request for such an amount. And also, this, I'm almost done. I think, Chairperson, the most important thing here is the accountability, that we want to see the files of the projects and the allocations, where the committee sat and decided on this, not one or two individuals, because that's not according to the prescribed rules or what this department, how the procedure should be followed. So if we can have that in hand, then maybe we can also have a better understanding of what actually happened in this, with regard to this, to counter this allegation. Thank you, Jean.
Chair, I thought you count the question that she has asked, but you don't do that. And usually when I ask question, you count them.
You told her. She's thinking that it's right that you can ask 10 questions. So of course, you used to do that. I was just watching and I've seen you were panicking. You see, when it's not you, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I put it to you that you don't give us full information because we are new members. I put it to you. And with respect, and I put it to you that you are not fully the previous committee. You don't give us full details of the picture. And I'll come later and I'll have a follow-up question on that. Because we are all new here, even the chairperson is new. And I want us to be honest, if you know the chairperson of the previous committee, I've checked all the PMG reports based on this issue. She was vocal. The previous chair, not you chair. No, I'm not saying you're not vocal. Now, Chair, I wanted to find out regarding the UCBA. What is UCBA? UF. It is what you see. UCBA. Oh. UCBA. UCBA Awards, which was launched in partnership with, and then the long thing is if it's not in partnership with CCIFSA. Was it in partnership? And what happened to the amount which was not utilized? 500,000. What happened to that money? Because on your presentation is clear, which when you minus the dollars or the cents, there's 500,000 which is not accounted for. And the Federation was established vis-a-vis the former president called the meeting. I'm putting it to you that, and whether you put it differently. The former president, he was a statesman at that time, he called a meeting that it must be established. And I think there's lack of transparency, there's lack of accountability, there's no honesty on this issue. And one of the things why this will roll, because Federation were not even open, even to the department, even the department did not even do monitoring and evaluation. Legally, can you tell us, DG, CIPSA structure, is it legal? Do you have any records or minutes, documents that they usually meet and they share with the department? USIBA Award. Why does USIBA Award and does Western Cape Cultural Award? Don't you see any duplication as the DG, firstly? How much was allocated for Western Cape Awards? How much was allocated for USIBA Awards? Can I get the figures? And then how much did they use? And does this National Heritage Council Golden Shield Awards? Shield. How much was it allocated? And how much was it, you pay interventions, or was it paid after the event or before the event or on the event? I need details on that. That's why I'm so vague. I want to see exactly what. Chairperson, how much was even, okay, let me go to, I think my colleague has asked that question. Do you know, as a DG, is there any investigation as a DG after presenting this? Because the, for us, I concur, they mention you, they mention the minister, they mention that the who's the director? Is it the other? Mabasu. Now, in mentioning it, do you know any investigation of USIBA? Not USIBA, CIPSA. And then if no, why not? But you know investigation of Umsomi. And then how far is the investigation on your knowledge if they update you as the DG? Can I ask if you have the constitutionalism legends, do they have the policy, financial policies? And I've noted on your presentation you are saying Mr. Msomi was the chairperson of the legend. It composes of how many members can you have the structure? Before you give any member or any entity, you must know who are they. Do you have any MOU now in this living legend? Can you share that with us? Venture, I'm going to venture capital. How many people or how many beneficiaries with this venture capital? And how much was it per beneficiary? We need accountability, we need honesty, we need transparency. That's why I'm putting it clearly on that. Minister and the wife, are they involved in any projects of the department? Is the wife of the minister, Moksonepa, is involved on this 100 million, not on the 100 million, on the golden Mzansi magic? Why isn't the magic? I usually say magic, and there's no magic. But it's the magic, eh? You see why it's the magic. Is there any involvement of the wife? Or is the wife holding any position in any federation or any entity, playing with words there? Regarding Indus, 80 million was accounted for. Now, moving forward, you are saying you are going to give them 10 million going forward. Can you get can you share with us the accountability of 18 million? What did they do? Honesty, transparency, accountability on that. I'll have follow-up question. Let me not waste time. The member decided she's intimidating me.
that out of 13 persons.
Ah, my God, count it.
In both of you are counting, honorable, in order that when they are not answered, you say you are not answered, I must be 100% sure that they are not answered. Honorable,
thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation, DJ. Remembering the launch of the Mzansi Golden Economy, I want to find out what was Paul Mashatile's role when it was launched, and who was the DG when the program started. Has the department involved auditing team for the project in the last 5 years? And were there any risks pertaining the DG and the people that were getting funding for the project? In the time up to 2013, was there a permanent CFO in the department, and who was it? There's a gentleman, Mike Ring. Was there ever investigation in his role in the department concerning irregular and possible corrupt use of the department's money meant for the project? Was there, what was the role played by the National Treasury for all these years that Mzansi Golden Economy has been operational? And who was approving the funding of the team? Does the department have a stable management, and who are they? Under which grounds did the government, the department give SIFSA additional 13.6 million without SIFSA giving accounting information for the money? If it has, what is it? And same question, is it legal? And can we see the financials of the SIFSA and its operational projections? Thank you.
Thank you.
Can the opposition ask these questions? Huh? Only opposition.
It's nice to be in opposition. can anyone ask questions? I'm having a full meeting. Not a problem in opposition and ruling.
Thank you, Chair.
I'm sorry, but just a request. I don't know whether, because we are a committee, I've heard one of our members in one day until they've got a proof. So can it be shared to us, that proof, because we are part of the committee, so that we know what is it. So that's my request. Thank you.
I was thinking about.
I'm suspecting that the proof will be needed by the department, because as a committee we are not doing any inquiry, but the department, if it feels to give us and show us that proof, we'll take it. But I do take a question. Any interest, DJ?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will share my responses with my colleague. The CFO is here, the Mamaso is here. We should be able to share those questions. let me start with the issue of why City Press were not taken to court. We did indeed take the matter with City Press through our spokesperson who raised an issue about the manner in which this article has been crafted and how it was also projected to the public, completely ignoring our key responses to that issue. And that objection was lodged with the City Press. I can just check with my colleague who is dealing with the media, and on how far did that matter go, but we did not go to court because there are processes first to follow in dealing with the matter, so we didn't take it. The minutes will be available. We will provide the details that have been requested, including the amounts that have been asked for, to say when it was adjudicated, how much was adjudicated. I must indicate that it was again another false information to allege that Mr. Mabaso was an acting director general. Mr. Mabaso has never acted as a director general. The press is incorrect. It is not true. That's why I'm saying it is false, it is a lie, and I can repeat that again. Mr. Mabaso has never not acted as a director general, but acted as acting as a deputy director general. You must clear this thing, because when people are fishing, they want you to then give them the right information. And I'm saying he is a chief director and currently acting as a deputy director general. And Mr. Mabaso will explain the issue of the threshold of the 2 million. As we indicated, the policy of MGE separates open calls and it talks to then the threshold of the 2 million. It does not talk to other programs which are unsolicited proposals that come. That is why those projects and programs are far higher than the 2 million. They don't fall within that threshold and that category. And we explained that again to the chief, that it is inaccurate because they don't understand what our policy caters and say. Whoever was feeding them with those malice and misinformation, we had to clarify them to the chief. And we did. Request for condonation, the SAFO will talk to that. On the matter of the two signatures of the same, we have to look at that, Honorable Chair. If I can be provided, so that I can then respond accordingly. Who said on this adjudication, as I indicated, we will provide the details as asked by Honorable Fande on this matter. In Ndoni, we have the records of what Ndoni spent the money on. We will provide that. I think we just need to bring the files here with all their reports and their accounting. On what they alleged to know nothing about, I did talk to them to satisfy myself with what was the issue. And indeed, they did indicate that they can't account for the cost. Apparently, there is what we call another Indonesian base somewhere else in the country. And they were saying that reference is not Indonesian as they are, but it is another Indonesian. And I could allude to that because we had once received an indication that there was an Indonesian owing some money, and was it working with the department or not? And we had to investigate and find out who is that and are they owing anyone, because that was being directed at us. So, indeed, I spoke to the doctor herself, and she confirmed that that is not the Indoni under their registration. That is a different alleged Indoni. Files missing. This is not true. The files are in the office.
And you can see them.
Yes, you can. We will provide the files. It was again another lie that was being peddled to try and create the impression that there are files missing. There are no files missing. I even asked, even unknown I was on the rank, to say anyway, whoever was alleging this will have to then provide us proof that he or she removed the files. Because
if we don't know, we have an obligation to report the file, you see. Either then to the department management, if you don't trust your immediate supervisor to the DG, if you don't trust the DG to the minister, but you have an account and responsibility as an official, rather than to run to the media first. But the files are there. Now, slide 7, Usiba Award is thieves are being investigated by SIU. I received that also to Honorable Mishonga's question to say, do I know? If I don't, why not? But I know about Usuma. I know about what is put before me. And what was put before me was a letter by SIU. And SIU wanted us to establish and provide them with the reports, but also engage and check so that they can then determine whether the matter, as they do their processes, falls within their ambit of investigation. We have responded to the SIU around the issue of thieves. And therefore then I am hoping we will hear from them to tell us, once they have done their determination exercise, whether this falls within their ambit or not, they will be able to then advise whether they are going to investigate, or whether the documents that are submitted from both CIFSA and the department, is that adequate. The CFO can just indicate or they had a task to deal with it, but that is my understanding, that we have submitted that response. Now, FNB did not commit, as I indicated, to reinvest 8 million. We said there a substantial amount of money. However, as we are in the process, Honorable Chair, to finalize agreement, we will not be able to disclose at this stage to this House the issue of the amount of money. We are finalizing the agreement. Once that is done, I believe we will engage with the parties so that we did indicate that Parliament is a transparent public place, they would like to know. But that then, once the terms are finalized in terms of signing and everything, that they allow us, because I think everybody knows it's about FNB. So I would request Honorable Chair and Honorable Members to just give us that space, but we will confirm to you the amount and the condition of that agreement. And in fact, I received the agreement on Friday, and there were just a few, when I was signing it, just made one small error, then they had to resend it to me, but because it has to be original, we'll be finalizing that process. It's just following those stages. It's three parties, it's the department, the Legends Trust, and as well as the attorneys who were involved in that, who are party to the signature of that. Honorable Mchongo, may I also respectfully reject the notion that there is either a minimal disclosure for whatever intentions. That is not true. We were responding to what we were asked to present, and if there is any information, Honorable Mchongo, that you will still require more, we are prepared to provide that information. And one will not, under any circumstances, undermine this House. These are honorable members, all the presidents are people, and it's important that we provide you with the information you require, and we will do so. Let me agree with you, it was in partnership with CIFSA. That is why we're saying CIFSA as the institution, and as you correctly pointed it, let me answer in the affirmation. It is correct that this was as a consequence of a former president who brought together all the creatives to say, we can't talk to you individually. You need to have a body, an organized body, that will be able to represent the sector. And therefore, then CIFSA was born out of that process. the legal standing and the legitimacy, I think just we talk to that, so that we are clear that we're not doing business as government with a non-legal body, so that we are clear, we clarify the air around that issue. But that awards were indeed part of that. Western Cape Awards, maybe let me clarify why I did indicate about the issue of recognition. And Western Cape can recognize people, but not people of Limpopo. Limpopo can have an event and not recognize people of KZN. In this country, we've got a number of awards in the sector. We've got SAMAS, we've got SATMAS, we've got a number of them. They are not by government. They are not being recognized at the national level. The only thing that this, our government does is through Bokamanga and all those which are the national order. That is why this was not seen and is not seen and viewed as a duplication. The people we have recognized, if you look at them and their interviews, you will be amazed at how they themselves embraced these awards, that at last their government is recognizing them. Some of them have never been recognized by either SATMA or SAMAS, whatever that awards that are taking place nationally. It is not correct for a government not to recognize these people. My colleague might talk to the NHC Shield Award. I did respond to SIU investigating. I indicated that at this stage they were not investigating, they wanted information because they had received a complaint, and then that is the information we need to gather for them to determine whether this falls within their jurisdiction of investigation or not. They will advise accordingly. How many legends? If we look at our report when this was started, there were about 66 or so, I would just double check. Others have passed away. There are those who turn 60, 70, as I said, the threshold is 70 years old, then you become the member of the Living Legends Trust. But on the trust itself, they were identified in terms of the various subsectors. Cuisine, crafts, literature and poetry. We can just outline all those sectors, music. So the trust is formed in such a manner that it covers all the main genres that are there. So they are 9, if I'm correct, based on those genres. The issue of venture capital, or do they have any constitution and all those things, we can provide those legal documents because we can't transfer money to an illegal institution, to a non-existing institution. They need to be registered. We've got all that. We provide them. Maybe that is the elephant in the room around the venture capital. By both those who went to City Press and the City Press. Because it is a basic open knowledge that the wife of the minister is the CEO of NEF. Therefore, it's not a secret. They do work not only with the department. It's an amazing job they have done. They continue to do. But for us, our side, we will, Honorable Van Dijk and Honorable Nhlongo, provide you with a report of what they have done with the money to date. We've got that. We will then provide it I'm just not sure whether my colleagues are able to get all those reports electronically. But those who are here tomorrow can bring it to make sure that you have that. So maybe this pervasive idea to try and attack the venture capital is based on an attack on the minister to try and create the impression that there is conflict of interest. And I don't think it is a fair assessment of the situation. And in that regard, there are clear rules of engagement department has, like all other partners we have, in relation to how we work with venture capital, with no exception. And again, we must indicate there were successful bidders out of 26 who submitted their bids through an open competitive. In Doni, the request for 18 million, how it was spent, we have the reports we provide. The questions asked by Honorable Matlingozi in relation to the former minister and the Mr. Gray, and maybe another who was the DG, but all these other things are new information for me that I might have to then come back to you about how was the minister then involved and how, and then to who is this Mr. Green, in fact I thought to meet Mr. Bean, but I realized no, it's Mr. Green. So I can just say that I will entertain Honorable Demos to then go and check the questions of register. In terms of the National Treasury's role, my understanding is that they had given us a director during the venture capital adjudication to be part of the aid adjudication committee. Six of financials, we have those records. I think we will have to provide them to the committee so that the committee have those. What role is National Treasury playing? CFO, you may talk to that in relation to, but these are the real fence funding in my understanding, or earmarked funding, if I can put it that way. But I would allow the CFO to talk to that in terms of the MGE fund. Does the department have a stable management? I believe we do. We have the stable management, and unless I'm provided with details and on what lies at the heart of the question, but we have management in the department. We also have vacancies in the department on management, so which is not unique to the department. But if there is any maybe basis for this question, and I'm clarified, I will respond. Therefore, chance.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'll also respond to some of the issues raised. I'll start with the issue of the irregular expenditure reported in our annual financial statement of 132 million. In this amount, the issues being discussed today are not part of that register, because that accumulated balance you see there is transactions that have happened throughout the department, and it has accumulated over the years. It is not yet condoned by National Treasury, because as we were presenting the annual report, we said that there are still investigations that are taking place in terms of determining what action the department must take in terms of those particular transactions. A little progress has been done, because there are certain officials who have already underwent disciplinary process in regards to that, and thereafter it will be sent for Treasury for condonement. The report that there was a amount sent to National Treasury for condonement. The department in 2016-17 appointed a Gobodo forensic investigation to do some investigation on irregular expenditure. And in their report, when they analyze certain transactions, according to their findings, they realized that some of the transactions should not have been recognized as irregular expenditure. And they advised the department to request National Treasury to condone. And it was on those basis that we also analyzed and sent to Treasury, but Treasury did not condone. But it was after the advice from SMG. It was not a determination by the department. And then there was also an issue on the who adjudicated the venture capital fund. But I don't want to start at the adjudication, honorable members. I would like to start with a letter from a National Treasury, where National Treasury was part of the sort of the fact finding to say how can we fund the sector. And there was consultation with National Treasury, and they wrote this letter to the then acting director general, which I would like to read to the committee, and it reads as follows. It's for the Acting Director General Department of Arts and Culture. The subject is establishment of a venture capital fund by the Department of Arts and Culture. The meeting held on the 23rd of March 2016 with National Treasury, represented by H. Dutoit, Chief Director, Governance and Financial Analysis, Armand Diwana, Director, Corporate Governance, C. Kruger, Director, Central Registry Management. As discussed, the following initiative proposed by the Department of Arts and Culture regarding the process to establish the Venture Capital Fund is supported. Hosting the VCF within an agency of government which has the capacity and expertise to grant and administer loans. I think that was the emphasis, that they will support it provided we appoint a government agency that have that capacity to deal with that. And that agency must be able to provide technical assistance to the beneficiaries. Whoever receives money from the agent, they must make sure that he has the capacity to manage, because this is a loan, because it must be paid back. And then they also advise the department that it must obtain relevant executive authority concurrence for hosting the VCF. That is, the minister must approve that whatever agency we recommend, it must use the VCF. And this is a letter from National Treasury. Okay? Then the department appointed a panel, a special panel to adjudicate proposals received for hosting. And these are some of the letters that I have, where the, some of the people, this guy is Mark Bremer, from, is an investment analyst for Grovest. I've got Mr. Dimisani Dlamini. He was the CFO for National Arts Council, and Takalani Tambani, from Chief Director at DTI. And we've got Lefense Radikeledi from the Development Finance Institute. So a lot of people in expertise in the sector were appointed so that they can assist the department in the adjudication of the proposal received. As DG indicated, we received about 26 proposals, and almost two of them made it to the final stages. And incidentally, both were agencies of DTI. It was SEFA, Small Enterprise Financing Institute in the DTI, and also NES. Yes, and then this NES was approved based on their proposal, because their proposal was more attractive, because I was also a member of the adjudication panel. So they were putting on the table for each rent we give, they give 150. So those were also some motivations why NES was preferred between SEFA and NES. And that's how NES was. And on the issue of the involvement of the wife, I think DG have dealt with that, but it must also be taken notice that in any transaction, whether of adjudicating proposal, it is upon each and every official in that committee to declare any interest after scrutinizing the directors or the members of the particular organization that the issue of conflict of interest should be managed properly. And the issue of SIU investigating FISA. SIU only investigates government entities. It does not investigate private entities. However, they receive queries about financial management at FISA. So knowing that FISA got that relationship with the department, they then came to the department to say, we are receiving complaints from the public. We ask the department to attend to the matter. Fortunately, honorable members, because with the MGE funding, for every funding there is an MOA, and in the MOA it states that one of the paragraphs that the beneficiary must produce proof of expenditure for whatever they've done in terms of the memorandum of agreement. So for CIFSA to be a partner of DAC, it must comply to the MOA. So currently, with regards to this SIU issue, because we don't want to be a referee and a player. What we did, we have appointed an auditing company to go and verify that expenditure on our behalf, not so that there is some independence into the whole thing. And we will report to the committee when we receive the report on that. The issue of the permanent CFO, I've joined the department in 2015. I am permanent, honorable member. Before then, I think the department spent about 5 to 6 years without getting a permanent CFO. So there was a lag when I joined the department. But it is going forward. Be rest assured, I'm still there. The issue of investigating migraine, I think on the report that I've seen, because the investigation report, I've not, the name of migraine never appeared as per the forensic report we received that he must be investigated. Although with other officials, there are recommendations that this case must be sent to the crime intelligence for further investigation. Those recommendations which the department has implemented. Yeah, I think thank you, the Honorable Chair. Those are the questions I could respond to now. Thank you.
Honorable members, time is past 1 o'clock. So I'm giving you a chance to respond.
Honorable Chair, there are two questions. The rest I think DJ has covered. On the issue of Indoni, we'll present a report from SACO because they did a detailed evaluation on the impacts of Indoni, and we have that report we provided. On the question of the 500 balance to CIFSA, as CFO is indicated, when we sign a contract with the organization, we also agree on the tranches to be paid. So the 500, they just submitted the reports, so we must evaluate the reports. On if we agree with the reports, then we can release the balance. So we don't give you all the money to go. We give you in tranches, then you report. That's how we make payments. So the 500 has not been paid because we are still evaluating the final report that has been submitted.
Thank you.
Honorable Chair, I just needed to just indicate, was earlier I had indicated that possibly CFO was handling the issue of SIU. But
we should have submitted the report, but yet because he has clarified that there was that independent person we appointed who will then finalize that report and be able to give it back to SIU as a project manager. I think I just needed to clarify that.
Sorry, Honorable Chair, there was also a question on the how many beneficiaries on MES. On the report that we received for since the fund started, is, I can see it's about 6 beneficiaries to the tune of 11 million only.
Honourable members, the time is past 1 o'clock. We're having an outstanding item, which I'm thinking that I'm worried at 2 o'clock we're having a plenary all guided by you, honourable members. And also one other thing, I'm happy that DG and CFO we are responding. I was worried with other information that will be given us whilst we are not yet finished to investigate. I was noting that we'll give you the report, We want a finalizer report wherever it must be taken. If you were investigating somebody, don't give us the reports that the investigation are not yet final. That's the only thing, because we're not going to do the investigation. Honorable members, Honorable
Chair, I'm responding to the concern that we're already 10 minutes after 1. And already I've got an indication that members would like to have lunch, because lunch is not organized here. In that regard, one would suggest that we stand over the remaining item, and then the office of the chairperson, together with the secretariat, will see whether we can rearrange the program to address the item. Otherwise, if it's possible to submit that report in writing, we can then receive the report, but we adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
That's my proposal.
Chair, there are questions which were not answered, and I see issues of time, but I think in the future, these are issues of importance like this, they need immediate follow-up. For example, on the presentation, the DG stated clearly, I just make an example, that former president was not involved. But when you responded to me, you said, yes, that was your response, to say, on your presentation, you said, no, these are allegations. But when you responded to my question, when I put it to you that the president was part of who called for establishment of a federation, you said, yes. So I'm saying, those are the issues. Chair, you'll correct me. Do you have any records of this meeting? Do they record our minutes, our meeting? Not only like handset, because those are the issues that you have to get a follow-up to say, but on your presentation you said allegation. But here you said that, yes, the president was involved because of the establishment of the CIF. I'm saying, Chair, I don't want to go back. In the final days, you have to have a diligent day, sacrifice ourselves. For an example, a question may arise, Honorable Mazingos, who was the DG, it was not responded. But technically, I started 2015. That is not a response. I'm just saying, your question was, who was the DG at that time? Now, those are the issues that justice is not there. And that's why I was saying there's no openness, there's no transparency. That is the question that I'm coming about. Worst of all, Chair, which is, I know I'm not, I'll ask the Basipa whatever that they spoke about. You cannot issue to any act, say no, we took this decision because of 150. Give us a clear list of 150 of the beneficiaries.
Order, Chair.
for that?
Chair, I think there's a proposal that we adjourn the meeting and then let's deal with that proposal. Because if we continue with the meeting, it must be per agreement so that we know what arrangement we are making.
Chair, my hands are up first.
Yeah, I'll go.
Chairperson, I will second. I just have one question on another matter. I've written a letter to you with regards to the situation.
Hold your horses.
I just need to keep carrying
on. Hold. We're not there. One thing at a time. Honourable Mem.
So, thanks, Chairperson. I second the proposal made by Honourable Nagusi in relation to referring the last item to the next meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. DJ?
Honourable Chair, I think it would be amiss of me not to respond to the misinterpretation of what I said. I clearly said there was no involvement of the president in relation to our funding of numbers of his song of this alleged album. That has nothing to do with SAFSA. Then Honorable Mshongo raised a question about who was involved in organizing the sector and subsequently have this SAFSA. I said I answer in affirmation because that was the former president. These are two different things.
Was proposed to be adjourned, and before that, when I opened the meeting, I've said I've got so many letters that are with me. Was the department still with us? Being a chairperson, I got the correspondence sent 25th of October. From Honorable Van Dijk. It's about National Museum Bloemfontein victimization, undermining of a committee member's work. So I received it and I cannot just respond today. This letter was sent, I've seen it in my emails. 25th, it was Friday and today is Tuesday. I must process checking whether it is in order that I must come and respond on the labor issues, but my office is going to respond to you. Just a moment, it's not only your letter. I'm saying I will look at the entire correspondence. I've read it yesterday, and then I will come back to you. Whilst I'm still there, another one. It's written to Honorable DM and copy to me. You're supposed to have about two DMs there. The correspondents that are coming to me, I'm applying to be a second deputy. It goes like this. My unfair and procedural suspension, humbly requesting for intervention, even with this one, I will sit down with the relevant leader, which is Honorable Notawe Maf. It's apparent that she is a deputy minister of this committee, but it's also addressed to me. And then there's this letter also, because I've just received them now. The letter from Honorable DM not yet responded, but also I've given a copy. So
I'm reading these letters in order that my department must see how things are happening. It was not like this when I was in the another committee. And in this committee, every letter is copied to me, and I'll always do that. I'm having another one, abandoned students. It's what happened to the bursaries promised by Department of Arts and Culture. It's a long letter also. I did receive this morning. With it also, I'm acknowledging to receive it. I'll sit down with the office of DG to assist me, but I'll acknowledge the letters. But the responses that are not going to come from me, I'll seek the relevant office and monitor it, and they must copy the responses to me, because I don't know what else can I do. But what I'm going to do, DG, I'll be doing oversight to you in order that all the correspondence which are addressed to Minister, Deputy Minister, if are copied to me, I'm having a responsibility that I must monitor that you are responding on those letters that are copied to me. I was having a hand from Honorable Van Dijk. Do you still want to say after what I've said?
Okay.
Honorable Shaw?
Chai, see, you're doing housekeeping. It's what I was asking. I think we've agreed that that was our proposal, that on Friday we don't meet. I think, did you consider it, did Honorable Trollip consider that, because we are prepared to meet, it's a proposal, sure, prepared to meet Tuesday, Wednesday, than Friday. That is, it's what we agreed upon. And Abonada are shaking hands.
Honorable Mshong, that's not the role of the House Chairpersons. We proposed and we were given Tuesday and Wednesday, and I did come back to this House Committee telling that we are no longer going to be getting Wednesdays. We are given an official day, Tuesday and Friday. We are still meeting this Friday. We have given that. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Thank you very much, DG. Maybe DG and your call, I must talk to you about these things just now. With your respect. Honorable members, thank you so much for your time. Honorable members,
let me be slow. We are pleased to invite you to this year.
Awards to be held on 10 November 2019 at Playhouse Theatre in Durban, on which we will be presenting two awards, namely Sports Woman of the Year with Disability and Coach of the Year. This year marks the 14th year of the South African Sports Awards, building on the success of the 2018 Sports Awards, which left many people this year with envy and adoration. The preparations for 2019 Sports Awards are already underway, and the writing is already on the wall. Then once more, we are headed for yet another world-class national sports award ceremony. The South African Sports Awards are part of Sports and Education South African commitment to promote social cohesion and national building through sport and education. The key objective of the Sport Awards is acknowledging and celebrating sport excellence, reward sport achievement in and of the field of sport. The South African Sports Awards were initiated in 2004 in partnership with the South African Sport Confederation and Olympics Committee and South African Broadcasting Corporation SABC, as well as a host of other general stakeholders and sponsors. These awards have subsequently been held successfully on annual basis since 2004, with exception of 2009 and 2010, when there were no national sports held. In addition to 14th edition of South African Sports, these awards have subsequently been held successfully on annual basis for competition. The awards carry a total of 19 categories, including the Minister of Sport, Arts and Culture Award categories. The categories recognize individuals, men, female people with disability, national and international participants, national federations, education bodies, school indigenous games, sport legends, media and community sport leaders. In light of the above, Department of Sport and Education could we invite you to participate in 2019 South African Sports to be held as follows. Sunday, 10th November, Playhouse, Red Carpet, 18 hours, okay, 19 hours, done, 2020, live broadcasting, dress code, black tie, and even brown.
Honourable members, you must respond to the secretary, and then in order that will be immediately she must apply. Those who attend, they must forward their names to the secretary.
The box, I'm not going to Japan.
I have the mix of the